Madam Chair, everybody.
Madam Chair.
Mayor.
Yes, Chairman.
Mayor. We're ready.
Okay. Is the transfer. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning. Can everybody hear me? Okay. I would like to call to order this meeting of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee for Tuesday, June 12th, 2018. And before we begin, I would like to introduce the members of the committee. Please respond present when I call your name. Robert Hogue.
Present.
Eric Jansen.
Present.
Gene Stevens-Solman.
Present.
Donald Scarinci.
Yes.
Dennis Tucker.
Present.
Thomas Uram by phone.
Present.
Heidi Waskwe.
Present.
Okay, I am Mary Lannon. I will chair today's meeting, and we have two of our members who are unable to be here, and that would be Michael Moran and Herman Viola, who are not able to attend. Do we have members of the press who would like to introduce themselves?
Yeah, it's Brandon Hall and Coin Update.
Good morning. Anyone else?
Mike Dunzo with Coin News.
Good morning, Mike. Anyone else? All righty. The CCAC will consider the following items today. First of all, the discussion of the letter to the Secretary and the minutes from the March 13th, 2018 meeting. A review of the candidate designs for the final America the Beautiful Quarters program for 2020 and 2021. And finally, for the record, I would like to acknowledge the following Mint staff who are participating in today's public meeting. Ron Harrigal. Thank you for coming, Ron. Okay.
Present.
Abel Stafford. Pam Borer and Vanessa Frank. Betty Birdsong. April Whitaker. Megan Sullivan. Am I missing you? Roger. There you go, Roger. All right. So the first item on the agenda is the approval of minutes for the March 13th meeting. Any comments on the minutes? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Thank you, Eric. Is there a second?
Second.
Who's the second? Robert? Okay, thank you. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thanks, Tom. All right, without objection, the minutes and the letters are approved. Okay, are there any comments that you would like to address to the minute before we begin?
Hi.
Dennis?
General question.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a question for Ron. I think you'd be able to help me understand this. Since the America the Beautiful program started in 2010, we've reviewed hundreds of designs, and 45 of them have gone through the finalization and made their way into production. Of those, if I'm counting them correctly, only two of them are designs where a design element breaks into the outer perimeter of the coin, where we have the name of the park, its location, Ypresum. I'm thinking of the 2016 Fort Moultrie, where the battle flag breaks through at about 2 o'clock, and the 2018 Cumberland Island, where the crane's wingtip breaks the border around 9 o'clock. So my question is, I noticed in this design portfolio, we've got 52 design candidates, and about a third of them have design elements that break into that perimeter. And in the Tuskegee Airmen designs, about two-thirds of them break into the perimeter. So my question is, while we're reviewing these candidates, should we automatically discard those that break into that border, or should we assume that they'll be modified so that all of the design elements fit within the perimeter, or how should we approach that?
Okay. You mentioned that we have had a couple that have broken the border before. I think it's we're trying to allow more artistic creativity in coming forward, and that is an element to add a 3D effect to the designs. And I think the artists are taking more and more advantage of that to try and differentiate from trying to just keep it within like a picture window type of look. With that being said, we do call out a lot of the designs that have too much material that goes into the board. As you know, that's a higher plateau there, so you end up with less relief to be able to carry the design into the border there. We do allow enough if the design element is not too major. As you get towards the border, you have less relief to work with, and especially when you jump up onto the plateau, there's even much less than that. So we feel that if we can carry the element up there, we allow the artist to come forward with it.
Okay, so we shouldn't consider that a weakness or a disqualification. I guess maybe just take them on a case-by-case basis?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. I would like to turn to April, who will be talking about the portfolio for the 2020 and 21 American Beautiful Coins.
Thank you so much. As you know, the America the Beautiful Quarters program is a multi-year initiative authorized by Public Law 110-456, also known as the America's Beautiful National Parks Quarter Dollar Coin Act of 2008. This act directs the United States Mint to mint and issue 56 circulating quarter dollars with reverse designs emblematic of a national park or other national site in each state, the District of Columbia, and of course the U.S. territories. They are issued sequentially each year in the order in which the featured site was first established as a national site or park. Of course, these coins' obverses will continue to feature the familiar restored 1932 portrait of George Washington by John Flanagan, while the reverse, in addition to the design, will contain inscriptions of the designation of the site and host jurisdiction, the year of minting or issuance, and the motto E Pluribus Unum. To accommodate the various time zones as well as our liaison's schedules, if it's okay with this committee, we are going to review the quarters in a slightly different order than the one that they presented in your binder. So if you don't mind, we will first start with Weir Farm National Historic Site in Connecticut. Weir Farm National Historic Site is the finest remaining landscape of American Impressionism and provides a pristine setting where contemporary artists can connect to and paint in the same place that American masters painted at the turn of the 19th century. The park was home to Julian Alden Weir, a leading figure in American art and the development of American Impressionism. Designed and preserved by artists, the park is a singular crossroads of creativity, art, and nature. Thousands of artists travel to the park every year to be inspired by the rare quality of painter's light at Weir Farm and to paint and draw en plein air in the iconic and exquisite landscape. Here, visitors find an experience that empowers and inspires them to connect with their personal creativity and enjoy the feeling of well-being that results from that discovery. Before sharing the candidate designs, I'd like to highlight Weir Farm Liaison's preferences, which can be seen here. They are CT06, as seen on the left. That's the first preference. And CT18, seen on the right, the second preference. And of course, I'll note these as we go through the candidates' designs. We are fortunate to have our liaison and Weir Farm National Historic Site Superintendent, Linda Cook, here with us. Linda, can I ask you to say a few words for the committee?
Good morning, everyone. It's a great honor to be here, and I would really like to thank everyone at Mint and this committee for working with us on behalf of Park and coming to the Working at a national park that is dedicated to inspiration and American painting is often slightly different than large sweeping landscapes and resources, unbounded resources that are typically in the mind of Americans and others around the world in terms of what national parks designate. So from a Weir Farm perspective, you know, our issues of painting and sites become really granular, and everything becomes very poignant. And so I want to thank everyone again for letting us agonize over these designs and get the best. So thank you.
Thank you.
So we will start with the candidate designs. Design one displays a French easel near a stone wall in front of Weir House. Designs 3 and 3A celebrate the tradition of American Impressionist painting by featuring an en plein air artist's palette and brushes in front of an iconic stone wall with the site's trees in the background. Design 3, seen here, also features the artist's canvas on an easel. This is 3 and 3A. Design 4 features J. Alden Weir's studio, which is beautifully preserved to commemorate his art and legacy. Design 5 depicts the hand of an artist creating a painting with Weir Farm in the background. Design 6, again, the liaison's first preference, portrays an artist painting outside Julian Alden Weir's studio at Weir Farm. It's inspired by various images of the studio and Weir's paintings created on the property, as well as descriptions of Weir and his fellow artists absorbing creative and aesthetic inspiration from the rural environment. The design allows the viewer to feel as if he or she is standing where Weir stood. The inscription, National Park for the Arts, is included. Design 10 highlights a painting being created from the artist's point of view. The palette and hand with brush are symbols of the work and enjoyment of painting en plein air. The inscription, National Park for the Arts, is included. Design 11 shows a painting being created of the Burlingham House Visitor Center and a stone wall, with the inscription, National Park for the Arts. Design 12 depicts an artist working on a painting of the Burlingham House Visitor Center and a stone wall. Designs 13 and 14 portray a portable easel holding a canvas with the artist's painting of the surroundings overlaying the actual landscape at Weir Farm. The canvas and easel are portrayed in greater detail than the rest of the design, underscoring the mission of the site, specifically to create a legacy of artistic expression. This is design 13 and design 14. Design 15 features a log gate that lets people pass through fields typical of the site. Also seen are trees in a rolling landscape with a natural granite outcropping. A palette at the bottom of the composition depicts the inscription, National Park for the Arts. Design 16 displays a portable easel holding a blank canvas looking toward the entrance to the site. It shows the stone walls common to the area, a wild growth of lilies, and the aforementioned symbolic of the aforementioned canvas, symbolic here of the optimism and potential of art. Design 17 features a framed painting of a landscape near the entrance to the site. The inscription, National Park for the Arts, is included. And finally, design 18, the liaison's second preference, features an en plein air painter applying pigment to a stretched canvas, a creative endeavor encouraged by the park. It also includes the inscription, National Park for the Arts.
Thank you, April. Mm-hmm. Heidi, would you like to begin, please?
Thank you, Mary. I want to start by going over some of the things that I look for in coin design when I'm evaluating these packets, so we can sort of review these qualities. The first thing I look for is clarity. Is it muddled? Is it busy? Or is the image clear and easily viewed? And that's directly related to also the other quality of being size appropriate. In this program, we have the quarter size, which is very, very small and very shallow. And we also have the 5-ounce version, which is large. So these designs are tricky. They have to work in both sizes. It can't be so simple that it becomes boring in the larger size, and it can't be too complex that it disappears in the smaller size. So I'm looking for clarity and size appropriateness. The other thing that adds to clarity is having negative space around the subject matter. So it defines the subject. There's field behind it. If you have just layers and layers of texture, then when you're looking at the actual coin, it just blends into one busyness and nothing stands out. The other thing that I'm looking for is creativity. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And the other thing is composition. It has to have an artistic sense to the way the images are laid out. We often, on this committee, say we don't want to see storyboards. And that's what we're talking about. We want to see composition rather than just a literal interpretation. And this is also like a snapshot. You're just taking a snapshot photograph. You're not taking any artistic efforts into that snapshot. It's just a moment. That doesn't work in a coin design. We want to see an artistic, thoughtful layout. The other thing I'm looking for is message. Does it get the message across with symbology, with its images? Do we know what it's about? Does it invoke curiosity to look further? The other thing we look for is we look at the text. Is the text incorporated as part of the composition and the design? And we on this committee, I think, are of like mind that we like to see a minimal amount of text. When we add more text, it's because it really, really adds something, some information that we feel must be there. Otherwise, we say take it off. So with these things in mind, clarity, size appropriateness, creativity, composition, message, minimal text, and incorporated text. Then I want to talk about the packet. And I'll start with the liaison preference of number 6. Thank you. I think this one hits all of the points that we want to say about this park. It does have the additional text, National Park for the Arts, but it's laid out in an artistic way. It adds really relevant information. It doesn't muddle the design. And even though we have a figure that's small, kind of smallish on the palette, he's surrounded by this grassy land. So that is sculpted soft enough that will highlight the subject matter. The trees in the background, you can see, has negative space around the trees that lets them be defined. It doesn't get too busy or muddled. The building is very clear. So I think this one hits all the marks, and I like this one. The second preference, number 18, we'll talk about next. This one, it's hard to do the disembodied hand on a coin. Sometimes it works, but not very often. And I don't like the fact that we're looking at the back of the canvas, and the brush is in the middle, although it has some symmetry to it, and there is some composition. This one just does not appeal to me as much as the other preference. I would really rather go with 6. The other one I want to talk about is number 13. This one hit it out of the park with creativity. This really stood out in the packet to me. I love this concept. I like the layout. But what breaks my heart is the image on the canvas is very muddled. You know, the building behind all the trees. And if you imagine this is just a painting itself, I don't think your average landscape painter would put that tree trunk on the left side. It doesn't really make any sense as part of the composition of the painting. I wish the landscape itself was more clear and would read better at the size of the core. I would love to make this one, but it's 99% there. I wish I could just change the choice of landscape, because I love the creativity of this. I love the way the canvas breaks that border, like Dennis was talking about. And when, in this particular series, when an image breaks that barrier, we get a little incused effect there, which is nice. And then Design 14, which is also very similar. I like the landscape on the left. That's kind of clear where there's perspective, but I don't like it as well as 13 because of the symmetry. So I'm anxious to hear what my colleagues say about this design. A couple of others that I like. Number 15. I like the concept here, the incorporation of the palette. But this would have been so much better if the artist had taken the initiative and the license to get rid of the bushes in the background and the little trees. That would have added more negative space, which would have defined those trees, and it wouldn't look so busy. But as it's drawn, if you look at the actual size printout on your page, it's just going to become a monotonous texture. It's not going to look as good as the drawing. I think I'll end my comments there. I'm looking forward to hearing other thoughts.
Thank you, Heidi. Tom, would you like to begin?
Sure. I agree with everything that Heidi has said there very concisely, and how she particularly what we're looking for, and not looking also for a postcard, as I'm sure some of the other colleagues will have to say as well. But CTO 6 with him looking at and painting, I think, has the most ability to convey the message that Linda and her crew over there would like to probably convey. I think it says a lot. I do like the 13. I thought that was really, could really be interesting to see how that mints up in both proof and the uncirculated version. But I could see the highlight of a proof on this, on number 13, is being really, really different. So I think that I'll give some votes to 13 as well. And as far as as far as 18, the other choice of the group was, I agree, I don't like the back of the canvas. It just doesn't, in the background there, I just don't think it does as much to promote the park. But I, too, like 15 in regards to the creativity of the palette and how it is, but with the comments just made regarding the negative space could have been better and probably would have. I mean, if we did that without that in the back, that could be taken out. I think it would be a great design. So my thought is I really like the creativity of 13. However, it maybe doesn't say enough as it relates to the park. It really doesn't. If it had said the arts in there and a few other things, maybe it would have been more descriptive for what we wanted to try and accomplish. So I guess I'm going to lean more towards 6 and 15. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, Tom. And while I have the mic, can I ask everyone who's listening by phone to mute their phones unless they're actually speaking? That would help the transcriber and the rest of us. Thank you so much. Robert, would you like to go next?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with my colleague's statements on these things, very much so. A couple of observations of my own. First of all, I do like number 6, but I don't particularly care that much for the appearance of the figure, the painter. It looks like just a 19th century man standing there with his back to us. And I think this could have been done in a much more interesting way. Perhaps something a bit more impressionistic, not necessarily so dated in his little suit, not necessarily a male figure. But in general, I think overall, this design is perhaps the most effective in conveying the idea of the park. Another consideration, I do like number 15. Although I agree with Heidi and Tom that it's really just too busy for a tiny coin. This background, all the bushes and trees, I think it's just going to be a lost little mess when you see it in the size of a quarter. But I like the idea of the palette with the capturing the national park for the arts design and the fact that it is a beautiful landscape. Number 16 is a nice idea, but with a blank canvas right there in the middle, this is kind of the Aristotelian horror vacui. This is a big empty space in the middle of everything. But the idea of 13, 14, 16, and 17 capturing an impression of a painting as part of the field, I think is a nice thought. And I think this could have been explored a little bit more thoroughly and perhaps a little bit more effectively. I agree with my colleagues that number 18, while a nice design, I think doesn't work as effectively as one would like for the coin design. The back of the canvas, not so interesting. The landscape in the distance is far too tiny to be on a quarter. In general, I think number 15, if it can be cleaned up, might be perhaps the most effective. And if we were to select number 6, which I do like. I'd like to see that perhaps possibly changed, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Madam Chair, in follow-up with Robert there, is it appropriate to have a, can we ask Ron or whoever is there if that could be cleaned up so that we know when we're voting if it's a possibility to do what was just discussed?
So you're talking about number 15, cleaning up the shrubbery in the background and some of the trees to make it a little
and creating more negative space, right?
Yeah, okay, so for that one I would say come up with your decisions on what you want to go forward with and then make a motion.
Okay.
And we will deal with the motion.
All right. Thank you.
I think it's interesting part of that discussion we would want to consult with Linda Cook and get her input because for this park in particular, the preservation of the landscape and keeping it in the same shape, in the same form as it was when Weir and all the other master impressionists painted at the turn of the century, that is a key aspect of the mission so that artists today can paint literally the same landscape that Weir would have seen. And so we would want to do that in a very caring, thoughtful way if this were to be changed.
Pruning, as it were.
Okay.
Okay.
Selective
pruning.
Not pruning, but
To still have the character of Weir Farm, but make it more coinable and more easily identified as Weir Farm. Jean, would you like to go next?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate.
Oops.
Is this high? Yes. I appreciate Heidi's introduction to what we should be looking at. I think she really did a good job. So thank you, Heidi. My comments on the designs are I question so much material within this tiny space. So I'm not, although I apologize, Linda, for not appreciating the number six with the preference that you have. Because I just don't think it's interesting enough. However, no one has spoken about 3A. And I'm not sure how the Weir Farm feels about this particular piece, but although the brushes on the left-hand side are kind of confusing, I love the fact that there was so much negative space between those trees, and I love the fact that there's a palette there. It's dynamic. I think we could have a great point with this design. And aside from agreeing with a lot of what was said about the other points, number 18, I don't think is that pleasing to me. And number, right, I agree with everyone else's opinion about the canvas and the very tiny bit of landscape that's on the right-hand side. However, number 13, I'm not sure that that's a choice that I would take. I like the innovation. I like what's going on. However, it's just too, the little tiny painting landscape that we were going to actually have on a coin is going to be too small, and then I don't think it's going to read right. So for now, my feeling is towards 3A.
If I could interject, since you asked, were a few designs that our liaison identified as tied for third preference, as it were. 3A was among them.
Thank you.
The other two were design 1 and 4.
Yeah, I think 3A is powerful in the fact that it has less in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Donald.
Well, the surprise so far came from you, Tom, that you actually liked number six. I think neither of the Weir Farm's preferences work. Six, and let me tell you why. Six doesn't work because it's a quarter. Right? I mean, the paintbrush will probably be look like the leaf of a tree. It will look like you won't even see it. You know, it's just way too small. You know, the palette is way too small. If it were a dollar, great. You know, I mean, potentially. I mean, it's representational, it's not my taste, but at least it would work. This doesn't work. This I reject out of hand because of the size of the palette. So as to 18, I think it was Bach who said correctly that all you're seeing here is, you know, a large part of this little quarter is going to be the back of a canvas, which is really kind of boring and uninteresting. And what works about 18 is what's, so let me say something good about 18, right? Because what does work about 18 is that you have, you know, the prominence of a design feature. In this case, though, it's not the park, it's the hand with a paintbrush, and it's the paintbrushes in the foreground. So what's what works about 18 is prominence. And, you know, I just got this morning the latest Minnesota park with the dock. And
it's a loon.
The loon.
Says someone from Minnesota.
Sorry.
Let's get that straight.
Sorry. But what's cool about it and what really works about it is the prominence of the loon, right? So, but what are you giving prominence to in this case? In this case, you're giving prominence to paintbrushes and a hand, and you're looking at the back of a canvas. So I don't think either, for those reasons, I don't think either of the suggestions of the Weir Forum work. Now, having said what I don't think works, and Tom, you surprised me. So, so but what does work, I think, what's cool, you know, when you know, I always like cool when you get it, like a kid, right? And what's cool is 13, 14, 16, and 17. And what's scary about 13, 14, 16, and 17 is that there's four of them, and we can easily split up our votes picking which of the four it should be. But it should be one of these four, because we have never done this before. And it's a picture within a picture. It plays on, and you know I like this. You know, it plays on, you know, it's a picture of a picture with the park in the background. It really tells exactly the story you want to tell about Weir Farm. This is the story you want to tell. And it does it in a very cool way to create a coin in this series that we've never done before. So we're breaking ground with one of these things, and we're doing a picture within a picture, you know, kind of a thing. And I think that the challenge of one of these four designs will come from the sculpt, you know, in the sculpt. So if this is done, if Jomina does what he did with the moon to this, we got a winner here, I think. You know, it's really going to come down to the sculpt. And I think the use of what we do with proof versus, you know, what we proof, what we, you know, what they do with this on the technical side, with, you know, the technical design people, that's also going to be very interesting. And so this coin has, like, major potential. I definitely want to compliment the artists who did these designs for, you know, their creativity and for coming up with something outside of the box. I think it would be a shame if we go with one of the others. As far as, you know, we can't really make 15 less busy. We can't really do that without not only changing the design of the coin, but, you know, getting in there and changing the design of the landscape that it's depicting. So I really don't think 15 is going to work. And if we get into a motion to discuss how we're going to change it, I will be silent, because I can't do that. I can't change the design on 15. It can't be changed. It can't be cleaned up, quote-unquote, because it's the landscape. And that's exactly why it doesn't work as a quarter coin, right? So, you know, we're trying to make, you know, again, we're trying to make what might be a nice coin if it were, and it would look great. It certainly would look great on the 5 ounce and look great on the big planchet, you know, but it's not going anywhere on the quarter. So, okay. So, which of the four do you go with? So, let's try to hone in on this. And, you know, I guess I like the asymmetry of 14, you know, because it's off to the side. You know, it makes the point that we're looking, it makes the point in a pretty easy to see way on this. You know, that there's that we're looking at a picture and we're looking at the same scene, and the scene is continued, which is very cool. I mean, so you're gonna have a bold picture and then kind of a faded real landscape. Now you could have done the reverse of that too, and made the outside bold, but I think the way this artist did it is very smart, is very good. And of the four, that's probably CT14 is probably my pick. CT13 is nice, but you know, the putting the rectangular frame smack in the middle, it's just too symmetrical for me, you know, in a kind of a way. And on a small quarter, I'm not sure about it. I still like it, though. CT16, you know, it's a blank canvas, you know, and it's taking up a piece of the small quarter with blank. Could be interesting with the skull. And on CT17, we lose the connection between the picture and the picture. So what we have here, we don't have a picture in a picture. We have a picture of a picture. So does that make sense?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So in any event, I mean, my preference of all of these designs, and I think what would make the coolest quarter would be CT14.
Thank you, Donald. Dennis, would you like to?
I would agree after your thoughts on that, the horizontal, but I'll tell you what, even if these designs have possibility of Cody Awards, it's very creative, very creative. And that's it.
Robert, you had something you wanted to say?
Yes, may I have a comment on this? I agree with Donald that this 14 is probably the preferable piece among those four that show the painting. However, I think there's a basic problem here with the differentiation between the actual landscape in the background and the artwork shown more toward the foreground. You see the sharp image of the in the painting, and yet this is a place known for Impressionism. And you have a contrast between the background, which is all faded out here, whereas in reality, what we're trying to convey is the three-dimensional part in the background, and the two-dimensional piece is the artwork. What's going on here? I mean, we're just fading out the background, which is the farm, and emphasizing in a more three-dimensional way this painting. And I think that this is a problem. I think if you're going to try to differentiate degrees of accuracy between a background and a foreground, this probably is going to be lost through time and circulation, too, because of that fine deep amount of detailed difference between these two contrasting images. I think there's a problem here. I like the idea, but I just don't see quite how this would work. Maybe Ron could comment a little bit more on this, showing the realistic background, but here it's all faded out, which would be the more three-dimensional thing, and then the two-dimensional painting here delineated much more sharply. I mean, what is going on here? I do particularly like the idea of showing something like this, but I don't know if it works. Again, I'd like to comment on number 15. I don't see why we couldn't eliminate some of the background on that, contrary to what Donald is saying, because nature has already changed this place in the past 100 years. Let's face it, these trees were pretty small back when Weir was painting them, and the bushes probably weren't even there. So I don't think that should necessarily be something that would influence us against number 15. I do like image 3A. I had meant to comment on this earlier because this was one that I had actually noted. And I think that this might be a way for us to go. One thing that is not quite so good about this is it doesn't mention National Park for the Arts prominently in the way some of the others do. But perhaps that could be featured a little bit, maybe in tiny lettering even, on the palette or something like that. Thank you.
Donald, you wanted to weep in?
Can I just say one thing more about...
Turn your mic on.
Okay, can I just say one thing more about 14? And I'll preface by the image of from out of Annie Hall, a scene out of Annie Hall where they're all standing in line, and these people are talking about the movie that they're about to see, and you know, this pseudo-intellectual guy is explaining what the, you know, what the artist was intending, and then Marshall McLuhan walks out and in person and says, "You have no idea about my work. You know, this man has no idea what he's saying." Well, so I'll preface with that because I'm about to do what the pseudo-intellectual, you know, did. The reason I think that the artist intended that the picture is in detail and that the background is faded is what's being communicated is that we know Weir Farm from the picture, and the beauty of the landscape is what the artist is depicting in the picture. So for most Americans, people like me who don't leave New York City except to come here, what we know comes from the picture, and that's the coolness of the place, and that I think is what the artist was intending. And I'm sorry if the artist is online listening to me. Feel free to call me an asshole.
Okay, so that's, thank you. Interesting comments. Dennis, what would you like to add?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was really happy with this portfolio. There are a lot of good examples of beautiful draftsmanship here. It's all about art. It's all about nature. So there's a lot to like here. I'm glad that Heidi mentioned and laid out some of the criteria that we look at while we're considering designs. And I think for many of these, even the ones that I really like as works of art, the issues of clarity and size appropriateness, as you said, are challenges. And as I was looking at all of the 2020 and 2021 designs, I started to look at some of the other coins that have come out recently and look for areas where I think they really didn't work because we have detail layered upon detail, which makes everything get lost at that little one-inch diameter. And I know we don't have examples in front of us, but if you at some point look at the 2017 Ozark River Riverways Corridor, it shows a steel roller mill that was built in 1894 that visitors can still tour today. And in the big 3-inch silver coin, it's beautiful. In photographs, it's beautiful. You know, in the sketches, as we look at them, in this context, in these meetings, it's a wonderful design. On a 1-inch coin, all you can see is the flour mill and then a blur of landscape. So you don't get the nuance of the forest giving way to stream, and within the stream you have rocks. All it looks like is, and it doesn't look bad as a coin, but all you can see is a mill and the feeling of landscape. And then on the 2018 Apostle Islands coin, which has the kayaker in the water in front of the tall rocks, the water is beautifully detailed and sculpted, but there are certain angles where you hold that coin and the kayaker disappears. And you literally can't see him in the water. Take a look at that next time you have one in hand, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Everything is nicely rendered. It looks like a good design, but as struck at a one-inch size, you lose some of that detail. So with the Weir Farm portfolio, I think there are a lot of these designs that would make beautiful large-size medals. They'll look good at a three-inch size. But they, unfortunately, this includes, Donald, a lot of the ones that you like and which I like as designs. I don't think they would work as coins. However, I would also draw your attention to, in terms of 13 and 14, Joe Mena sculpted the design for the 9/11 Flight 93 Congressional Gold Medal. I think he also designed, he was the designer and the engraver. And it has a boldly sculpted foreground and then a kind of delicate, almost ghostly background. So, and I see a lot of that in these designs that we see with 13 and 14. So I know at a large medallic size it can be done, and it can be done very well. I just worry about the small canvas that our artists would end up with on the quarter dollar. 3A is one that I thought would work, but again, it has these challenges. On the left, you've got these paintbrushes, which are very fine detail, which are themselves placed atop very fine detail. What will that look like as a coin? Those would be lost. It looks great at a, you know, blown up and thrown onto a screen or looked at 6 or 7 inches on a piece of paper, but I'm afraid that those would be lost. I'm sorry, actually 3, I think, would be more effective than 3A because, as Donald said, you've got that prominence of a design element, the hand in this case, so you don't have detail layered upon detail. 4 is a nice scene of Weir's studio, but it doesn't convey the active, participatory, artistic expression that's so much a part of Weir Farm. Number 5 is actually one I don't think anyone else has really discussed this much, but it might appear simplistic at first glance, but I think it's coinable, and it captures all of the elements of this concept of plein air painting that we've discussed in the past, and we also get a good view of the stone walls and the gardens. 10 and 11 are too simplistic. For 12, at the size of a quarter, and really as sketched, this artist could be anywhere. She could be working in a studio. It says nothing about the farm. And 15 is actually the one that I was drawn to the most as I looked at this portfolio. I think it gets across the concept of Weir Farm without explicitly showing an artist painting at an easel. You know, you have this... you have the painter's palette that communicates the concept of plein air painting. You have the lettering. Heidi, I agree, you don't want to hit the viewer over the head with text, but I think in this case it strengthens the design and pulls it together. National Park for the Arts, it tells you what you're looking at. And it does so with a... I like the curves of the palette. It's not a... it's not the right angles of a canvas or an easel. So I think this makes a good connection between the outdoors and the arts, and then the text kind of drives it home, just in case you didn't get the message. 18, I think I agree with my colleagues. I have nothing that would add to their comments already. Donald, 14, I think would make a wonderful medal, and I know that the Philadelphia Mint engravers could work magic with that. I just worry about the size of a quarter dollar.
Can I comment?
Yes, Donald.
No, you're absolutely right. If you look at it as a landscape on a landscape, but you're right if you look at it as a landscape on a landscape, but it's not a landscape on a landscape. It's an object on a landscape. The painting is the object. So the foreground is the painting, and you will need a loop to, if you want to look at the painting, but the foreground is the painting. So the prominent feature of this design is the thing, the frame, and what's in the frame. If you look at it that way. And the second thing to address something Bob had said is, while again, I hate to like speak for the artist, but who I don't know. but what's being communicated here, as well, is while the landscape may change, because Bob is right, the landscape has changed in 100 years, and 100 years from now it will change again, and in 200 years it will change even more dramatically, while the landscape may change, what has the art that has been conceived and inspired and has frozen in time that landscape will always be there, will be there forever. This painting in the foreground will last forever, while the landscape may change. So,
here you go. Sure.
This was the hardest...
Turn your mic on, please. Thank you.
Is that better?
I don't know.
On?
If it's blowing, it's on.
Okay. This was the hardest collection of the six, which we received, in my opinion, because there's some lovely art here. It's just none of it's compelling when it's reduced to a quarter-size drawing. I just find almost every choice in here I want to eliminate because if it's too noisy, there's not enough negative space, there are unattractive features in the field. So I'm going to try to focus us here on one that'll work. And I'm going to echo Donald's thoughts. I'm voting for 14. I think the artist probably did 13 first because he enjoyed the symmetry of that.
Or she.
Or she. or them. but I think the artist ended up on 14 because this is not a picture on metal. This is actually a symbol. And the symbol is the easel and the artist's effort. I would prefer a design that has some energy to it, which would invite a hand and a brush, but the hands and the brushes in this set don't work, in my opinion, on a one-inch coin. I go to 14 with the begging of the sculptor to truly give us an off-center easel with a drawing on it. There's so much noise there. I wish that could be simplified. And then the backdrop, and Dennis brings out the example of the Pennsylvania 9/11 as the way to just demote the unimportant backdrop. The asymmetry of this is somewhat off-putting, but the symbolic of the easel and the piece of art, I think, is the essence of this design. So I'm going to try to focus the voting. And just as a comment, number 16 looks like nihilism at Weir Farm. Not impressionism. So I'm voting for 14, and the rest of the comments stand on the record.
Thank you, Eric. I'm going to add just a little bit here. I too happen to like 14. I love the asymmetry of it. It is a snapshot, as Heidi was saying, of just that particular moment through that particular artist's eyes. As long as we can get the easel and the rim of the canvas to pop, I think that that's ideal.
Yes.
The only thing that I wish it had was, say, National Park for the Arts somewhere. I'm originally not from the East Coast, and so I look and say, Weir Farm, what do they grow? That's sort of a Midwestern, view of something. Whereas my second choice would be number 15, because the palette has National Park for the Arts on it. And that pretty much describes, to me, what happens there. But in terms of design, I really do like number 14. So that is all I have to say about this entire series. Thank you. Jeannie, would you like to say something?
I have a question. I would like to know, after listening to all of us discuss these designs, Linda, how do you still feel about your preferences and also about what seems to be ours?
Thank you. Are you hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. some of the points, obviously, that you rose are the same that we grappled with. Trying to capture, again, this idea that we are not a farm. Okay, we don't have animals, or we're not, you know, we're not known for our farming, but farm in the title conjures up one thing in people's mind, but we're really about the artist. We too really looked at, you know, the quality of the rendering, how artistic could it be, and trying to get away from these busy woods. Yes, we could get into what period was Weir there, how forested or deforested was the landscape, what did he see when he was there. But then you have to marry that with what is the visitor seeing and what's their personal connection to it being an artistic setting as well. All that said, you know, focusing in on your choice, your desire for 3A,
yes.
Or just for example, trying to make the trees, you know, do we grapple with, is this a real scene that was painted, or are these just trees that are really greatly depicted on the coin, versus what is a real, something real that the visitor could take and look at the coin and see the location. So, for example, we have a number of younger employees at the park, and the first thing that they liked was number one, because they said, oh, look, you can take the coin and look, and you could see this the minute you get in the park. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't think that this is, you know, again, this empty canvas just doesn't work for us, and, you know, that design doesn't work for us. But it is trying to figure out how do we get through the wooded scenes. So going to 14 or 15 that, you know, you honed in on. Yes, we love that it cuts the side of the coin. We love that it's off kilter. It has some, you know, design quality to it. And it looks like a painting, and that's what we're about. But gosh, it sure is busy.
Yes.
And all those trees, you know, we're really not in the tree business. We do are constantly taking down trees to keep these views up. So to see the Weir House completely engulfed in trees just doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything for the resource as a recognizable location. So that's...
No, I appreciate your comments very much. One question I have for 3A, if I can go back to that, or we can go back to that. Because the complication is with the brushes and the hands of the overlaying the walls. And I don't like to redesign these things, but for me this is so powerful. It has, for me, the stone walls, which I think is so important to Connecticut and New England. What if that palette was just the palette, and we had the National Park for the Arts in that palette? Would that work for you?
I think a number of things could work on a number of these designs. And so I'll just put out there, palettes are kind of esoteric. I don't know if the average person knows that that shape is a palette, and that was the same case with 15, thank you. You know, it looks kind of like a, especially at the coin size, which you're the experts in, it just kind of looks, I mean, this has the, looks, they just look kind of loopy, you know, and some of them aren't this shape, some of them are square, and palettes can be all different kinds of shapes. So National Park for the Arts is important to us because it gets us out of the farm business. That's key for us. And something to do with painting is key for us. You know, these trees aren't right. I don't even really know if this exact scene is right. And Vanessa knows we've gone back and forth on this a number of times. There are elements in there that are completely right. Okay, so rocks and the barway, which is the fence with the posts on it, the stone wall, the canopy isn't quite right. I don't know what this one does for us. I don't know what a grouping of trees in the background that could be anywhere really does for us. It has no discernible, identifiable notion of artwork other than this kind of loopy palette at the bottom, which I would say the average person would not know what that is. I don't know that I've really honed this down any better. Again, the ones with the paintings that cut the edge, you know, I have all the score sheets with me of all the people that we asked to weigh in, like, which ones did they like? This has, you know, this speaks art. But what's on that palette, or what's on that canvas is really, that's just going to look like blurry. Well, I don't know, this isn't my area of expertise, but I don't know that this serves us to have all this vegetation hiding.
So just to make sure, we make sure you understand, there is some latitude for a discussion to take place here today for modifications to these designs to be sent back, and we would ensure that that artist worked very closely with our team in Philadelphia as well as with you in executing an iteration that met the requests of whether it's this committee or the CFA. Should this be one that is recommended to move forward. So it is not out of the realm of possibility that if that's the stumbling block, there could be discussions held about that.
Thank you, April. Heidi, you wanted to say something, and then Eric wanted to comment.
Thank you. After hearing all the comments about this packet, I'm going to say something I almost never say. I want to formally request that we go back again. And because Design 14 has such wonderful potential, if the scene were a different scene. And I don't like design by committee. I don't want to sit here and instruct how this could be. A lot of it's going to depend on the sculpting. The sculptor has a choice. They can make the background very sharp and the painting like very loose and like brush strokes. Or the painting could be in Q's line. There's a lot of choices there that the artist could do. But as far as the design itself, I think just keeping the palette the way it is and the concept the way it is, and then just pick a different scene that's more clear and more size appropriate. Otherwise, we're going to be picking something that is a second choice. And I would rather go with something that's spectacular. And this has the potential to be super creative and super interesting. It'll work on the large piece as well as the small piece if we have a clear landscape. So I'm formally requesting that please can we go back with this design and add us a more clear landscape and then look at it again.
Could I add to that the phraseology National Park for the Arts be incorporated as well? Because I think that helps it make sense.
I like the phrasing Park for the Arts, I really do. It may or may not fit on this design. I think this design says that without saying it. So if it does or doesn't, I'm fine either way. We can try it. Absolutely.
Okay, two more comments. Eric was first and then Donald.
I agree with everything you just said, Heidi. I was going to say the same thing.
Okay, thank you, Eric. Donald.
If people agree with 14 and vote for 14, I would make a motion to, after we vote, if people like it, to go back to the artist with, have the Mint and the Parks people go back to the artist to discuss the specific detail, design changes that, you know, they think need to be made with, you know, preference, you know, with priority given to the vision of the artist and in the inclusion of the artist, because I think what the artist has done here is create a work of art, and I don't want to have external people, including us, you know, as great as we all are, right? You know, I certainly don't want us, any of us, to insert our vision for the vision of the artist. Other, you know, and I think certainly discussing this, the, you know, specifics of what's being depicted, that's perfectly appropriate, and they can do that without us.
I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate that. I would not vote for this without changes. So that's why I'm proposing a motion rather than a vote.
Sorry.
A motion to go back and then look at these again, because there are many different directions it could go, and I think it would benefit from a second review by our committee.
This design or the entire set, Heidi?
Just this 13, 14?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I would only add the following comment. Knowing that this set passes by the CFA as well, and they've often gone for architectural solutions where we haven't. In fact, the example you cited of the stream and the building was not this committee's choice. It was the CFA's choice. And I think much is lost. It's hard to know if that's a stream or a road or what that is in that design. But my point is, I think we may end up with a harmonious decision from them as well if we were to merely ask the artist to take another look at the palette on 14, or for that matter 13, and give us a negative space and give us an image which may make the constituency a little happier as well.
Thank you, Eric. So I believe that the correct thing for us to do is to vote now, and then we can make a motion afterwards. Robert?
Yes. I'd like to ask Ms. Cook, if I may, what were the specific difficulties or objections with numbers 3 and 4, maybe apart from the disembodied thumb that seems to just come up out of the palette there? Were these not accurate renditions of the landscape in terms of the trees or what exactly?
Do you mean 3 and 3A?
3 and 3A, excuse me, yes.
So in 3, a number of you have already brought up this idea of the blank canvas hogging up or taking up a lot of space. So as we looked at this, this was like a quarter of the coin would be devoted to blank space, and that seemed like a waste to us. So that was one issue there. This, you know, this did figure as, you know, as desirable, in our minds, a better choice. It didn't have National Park for the Arts. We love this artist. We love this artist's trees. Like, we like number 4 because of the artistic quality. But it's not a scene that you can go to in the park necessarily. It's not, so the park is recognized for 200 painting sites where you actually go and look at the location and compare it to a work of art, just as part of our mission is to reunite works of art to the park that depict these locations.
So this is
at this micro level. This is not, it has a generic quality, yet. Yes, it has all the pieces. It's got a great stone wall, and it's got beautifully rendered trees. But it could really be anywhere in the park. So it makes us generic. And as we've mentioned before, you know, kind of striving to not be a farm, striving to be a park dedicated to art, which in itself is, you know, not the typical depiction of what national parks are. We don't know that this really sets us apart or defines our best qualities. But we really like this artist. The artistic abilities are endearing.
I like these too. That was my question, just to see if this is sufficiently accurate.
Right.
It seems to me as though perhaps National Park for the Arts could have been put in place of the blank canvas in number 3. Something about these palettes just doesn't work, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's a thumb sticking out of that hole, and there's no hand there to hold that.
Right.
Something is wrong with the palette.
Right. Palettes are, they're almost from a bygone era.
Yeah.
With
the brushes there? I mean, they're just sort of in space, flying out of this palette with a disembodied thumb.
Can I just defend this artist a little bit? If you're a painter, and I was one time, that's exactly what you do. You hold the palette, your hand is underneath the palette, and in your fingers, the brushes are being held. So this is pretty accurate.
But those brushes look like they go toward
honestly,
the back of
the
hand.
Blank palette.
They do. They do. They go to the back of the
what
hand.
What holds them?
Your hand.
Yeah.
It's like this.
It's behind it, so you can press and mix the colors.
No, but they look like they're going like this.
No.
To defend the artist here, perhaps put an idea out there that might make it more, I'm sorry, palatable. if the actual easeled frame were slightly more, just cantered off in perspective, and if the corner dipped below the palette's curvy edge, it wouldn't feel so aggressive in its dominance of that quartile.
Okay, I think we should distribute the scoring sheets and make our selections. Okay, while we're doing that, April, would you like to talk about the next one, please?
It is true. That is true.
No,
it looks like the brushes have to go back.
Yes,
after
the
this is a procedural question, and people will slap. If we're going to change
this, if we're going to go back
14, should we vote at all? Before we vote,
yes.
I would like to make a motion to send the packet back for redesign, focusing on design 13-14 with a more clarified landscape and the possible addition of text to be reviewed again in the future.
Okay, is there a second?
At what point can I make an amendment to that? Do we need to see it?
I think so.
Because I don't really feel the need to see it again.
I feel need to see it.
You do?
Yes.
We're happy to bring it back. The one request that we would have is, in addition to the refinements for the particular designs that you direct us to, if there are any strong preferences the liaison still has after hearing all the discussion between this and the CFA, we would like to include those as well, just for the record.
I'm happy to modify my motion. I'll generalize my statement. My motion is to request a redesign of the packet. Or what's the correct phrase?
Rework the designs based on the committee's feedback and bring it to you again in the very near future.
Perfect.
Is there a second? Eric, all those in favor of Heidi's motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion passes. Tom, I assume you raised your hand and I just couldn't see you.
There we go.
All right. Thank you very much. On to the next one.
Marsh Billings Rockefeller National Historical Park in Vermont will be the next site that we discuss. And I just want to note for you, Madam Chair, our liaison, I believe, needs to meet at noon in order to catch a flight. So for making sure we leverage the benefit of her counsel, I just wanted to provide that information to you. Background information about the site. Nestled among the rolling hills and pastures of eastern central Vermont, the Marsh Billings Rockefeller National Historical Park is the only national park that tells the story of conservation history and the evolving nature of land stewardship in America. The boyhood home of George Perkins Marsh, one of America's first conservationists, and later the home of Frederick Billings, a conservationist and pioneer in reforestation and scientific farm management, the property was given to the American people by its most recent owners, Lawrence S. and Mary French Rockefeller. The park's forest is one of the oldest scientifically managed forests in the U.S. In walking the park's carriage roads and trails, visitors can see examples of one of the earliest practices of reforestation dating back to the 1870s, alongside more modern approaches to hardwood management. The mansion is maintained as a historic museum to interpret the life and legacies of the generations of families that have called this place home. Our liaison's preferences can be seen here, It is design 3, seen on the left, and design 8. Here with us today is our liaison and deputy superintendent of Marsh Billings Rockefeller National Historical Park, Christina Martz. Christina, thank you for joining us. Would you like to say a few words?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's just a pleasure to be here. And like my colleague, I'd also just like to take a moment to thank the staff at the Mint for all their wonderful work in stepping us through this process, and to this committee for your early input in the conceptual phase of the design and its focus. We are very excited with the portfolio that was presented to us for the quarter. Marsh Billings Rockefeller is a small park about a very big idea, about idea of stewardship of almost two centuries of the legacies of families taking care of the land and passing it down from one generation to the next in that commitment of caring for a place. It is unique within the Park Service. It's not a wilderness place. It's not a set historic site, but it's about hands on the land, that interaction of people and nature over time. So we're very thrilled with some of the artists' approach and really diving deep into looking at the conceptual realization of that thematic theme that the park represents.
Thank you very much. April.
Moving through the designs, we'll start with design 1 and 1A, depict the planting of a sugar maple sapling representing the regeneration and conservation of the forests. In the background, design 1 includes the Marsh Billings Rockefeller Mansion on a hill, while design 1A, seen here, portrays a grassy hillside with the green mountains in the background. Design 2 features branches of a Norway spruce and a sugar maple with seeds representing the site's present and the hope for its future. The inscription, "People Taking Care of Places," illustrates the commitment to conservation and stewardship demonstrated by the Marsh, Billings, and Rockefeller families. Design 3 depicts a sugar maple seedling passing from the hands of one generation to the next. This simple gesture is emblematic of the stewardship required to conserve our shared natural resources for the enjoyment of future generations. And again, this is our site liaison's first preference. Design 4 features branches of a Norway spruce, with the seeds being released from the cones, symbolically continuing the ideas of George Marsh and Frederick Billings in conservation and sustainability. The inscription, "Legacy of Conservation," completes the design. Design 5 illustrates the concept of conservation in the cycle of planting and harvesting. Here, a Norway spruce seedling is shown against the backdrop of coarse log spruce. The inscription, "Land Stewardship," is included. Design 6 recalls a few of the thousands of Norway spruce seedlings planted by Frederick Billings following the inspiration of George Marsh. The planting was an effort to restore the deforested lands around the home that resulted in erosion and loss of topsoil. The inscription, "Future Forest," is at the top of the design. Design 7 portrays the carriage trails cutting through the planted Norway spruce forests at the park. It evokes the ideas of conservation, stewardship, and human access, inviting viewers to imagine themselves entering the forest and experiencing the feeling of being sheltered by the trees. Design 8, our liaison's second preference, depicts a young girl completing the planting of a Norway spruce seedling near an established tree, continuing the life cycle of the forest. The child represents the conservationist, seeking to maintain a sustainable forest for future enjoyment and education. This design includes the inscription, "Land Stewardship." Design 9 features a young oak seedling next to a maple and a Norway spruce. The seedlings are a part of the environment that ensures the continuing health of the forest, representing 150 years of environmental conservation and land stewardship throughout the park. Design 10 depicts modern logging and forest management in autumn using a horse logging method, one of several methods of logging used within the park.
Thank you, April. Heidi, would you like to begin?
A lot of these designs, I think, would look really great on a website.
on brochures, on posters at the park, but not on a quarter. And the two designs that I think would work on a quarter are number 2 and number 4. Number 2, I think, is my preference. It's all that needs to be said. It's not more complicated than this. This says a lot in a very simple way. There's really beautiful textures here that will read well on a quarter and on the larger silver piece. There's lots of negative space, which gives clarity to the image. It's not too literal. I do prefer the phrase land stewardship over people taking care of places, but that's a really easy modification. It doesn't impact the artwork. I think this is simple and beautiful and knocks it out of the park. And I'll just leave it at that.
Tom, are you with us? Would you like to speak next, please?
He's on mute, I think.
Are you, Tom, unmute? Tom, are you there?
Yeah, I hit the wrong button. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Relatively short on this one regarding, I looked at the designs and I would say that I definitely don't want number 1 because I want to see another building. But I do like the idea of number 3 with the hands, and I also like the number 8 as well. And I lean a little bit more towards 8 because of the person being there and actually planting. And I understand 3. So I do like the choices, but I also like the idea that that one says land stewardship. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Robert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't think we'd have a problem really very much with any of these designs. They're very attractive, and they do convey the message. Probably my least favorite would be number 10, because this is simply saying 19th century activity, mm-hmm. you know, with the horse. I like the committee's selections of number 3 and number 8. Number 8, with land stewardship and the young child, tiny tree and the large tree together, I think really kind of covers time. I think it does a nice job there. Number 3 is especially well drawn, but you know, how many shades of gray do we want on a coin? Let's worry about that. Number 2 is perhaps stylistically the most attractive of these designs. Number 7 I like because of the human pathway through the forest, and this is not completely evidently a replanted forest, but it kind of gives the idea that it could be. So I'm pleased with this portfolio in general, and I probably would support the committee's preferences in this case.
Thank you, Robert. Jean?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, was pleased with this portfolio. I think it was well done. I like number 2 and number 4 because of its simplicity. I have to agree with Heidi. I think this would make a beautiful, beautiful coin because we do have negative space. We have, you know, the ceilings of the parent trees. I also think that number 5 is interesting. Interesting in that it has the cut number, the cut trees, and then the ceiling, land stewardship. This is a little bit more abstracted. Perhaps some people wouldn't understand that these were logged trees, but I do think that of all of them, those 3 are my choices. Number 8, I think it's a little too involved with too much information. I think the child is great, but I don't know if that's going to coin up as a child, just as a person, and perhaps that's okay. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Donald.
Heidi is right. It's 2 is the right coin. I mean, this is a pretty easy pick, actually. Two is the best design here. It communicates what you want to communicate. If the people from if they want to change it to land stewardship because they like that slogan better. It doesn't matter what the slogan is, but the design would look beautiful on a quarter. It's the right size, and for purposes of the parks people with their preference of 3 and 8, is the focus on nature or the person. There's kind of a lost focus on 8, and there's no need for a human being to be depicted. And on 3, it's just the 3 hands just isn't going to work. So overall, though, by the way, as negative as I was at the last meeting about what was presented to us, I am as positive this meeting about all of the good designs and all of the things that we're looking at today. As a group, whatever happened is great.
Put that in bold. Thank you. Dennis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Donald, I apologize. I need to disagree with you. I want to remind our committee that back in October 2017, when we had our telephonic meeting about these coin designs, for Marsh Billings Rockefeller, land stewardship was the dominant theme of our conversation.
Yep.
The important focus for this park, as our liaison has pointed out, is on mankind's management of nature. This is not a protected wilderness. I wrote that in my notes, and you mentioned that as you were speaking. It's about deliberately and carefully planned human control of natural resources. So when you ask, well, do we really need to show a human? Yes, we need to show a human. We need to show a human and nature. So to me, for that reason, the following designs are completely out because they lack the human elephant. human elephant. They also lack elephants. Yeah. 2, 4, 6, 7, and 9, I would disregard completely. Number 5, to a lesser degree, it does show cut logs, so I think that talks a bit to the subject of human management. And 2 tries to make the connection using the text, though, Heidi. I think it, these designs that only show natural elements, they could be anywhere. They could be any sort of forest or natural environment. Bob, design 7, it does show deliberate human access to nature with the carriage trails. But I don't think that strongly evokes the concept of deliberate planned management of nature. So for me, that left 1 and 1A, 3, 8, and 10. I think 1 and 1A make the best use of the small 1-inch canvas of a quarter dollar. And while the Marsh Billings Rockefeller Mansion is important to the park, in our earlier discussion in October, we leaned toward it not really being crucial to that idea of human management of nature. For that reason, I favor 1A as the strongest design in this portfolio. I think 3 has a very visually pleasing bit of symbolism with the managed land and treaties being passed down from generation to generation. If this could be effectively translated into sculpture, then this would be one that I support as well. But I do wonder if it relies too much on shading to get its artistry across. Mm-hmm. Number 8, like 1A, I think it does illustrate that idea of direct human management of nature. And it throws in the bonus of a symbolic life cycle. You know, you've got the seedling, and then you've got a mature Norway spruce there. I don't think that the girl is too small or overly detailed for the size of a quarter. I think that the size of that figure would work. We've seen that in the Ellis Island coin. I think would be a comparable design. I struggle with the words land stewardship.
I appreciate what the text is doing and how it adds to the communication of this design. But I wonder if it would be a stronger contender if those words were absent. What the words get across is already being shown symbolically with the girl and her work in the soil. And Ron, I don't know, I think the lettering on a textured background might be a technical challenge, maybe not.
In this case, it's not going to be a lot of relief there. Where you have trouble is where you have the change in relief height, and then the letters look kind of odd because, you know, you have to put draft on them so they get wider and narrower, so it's a lot of fudging we have to do in the sculpt to do that. But on this, it's pretty much just a marbled flat plane there, so we'll be okay with that.
So I'm okay with the design as it stands then. I wanted to, if I could, I want to speak a moment about number 10. And this is kind of a sidebar, but I think it'll be a valuable discussion for our artists going forward. It does show human management of the land and resources of the park, but it just doesn't get the horse right. And I grew up, and Jeannie, I expected you to comment on this, being an animal person.
I didn't comment on it because there was nothing good I could say about it.
Okay.
It's like a Titanic clear.
I grew up...
If this horse were alive, it would be dead.
It's a fossil.
I grew up around horses in New York, so... When I looked at this horse, it just looked off to me on several points. So I called my mom and my sister. They're my horse experts. I think between the two of them, they have about 80 years of experience breeding, raising, training, riding horses. And I'll just tell you some of the feedback they gave me. They said that a horse's nostrils are usually bigger for more air intake. The jaw looks wrong. A direct quote. The lower lip normally has just that, a lip with some pouting fat on the bottom. Regarding the logging harness, it seems like the horizontal bar running behind the horse is too close to the back legs, inhibiting normal leg movement. Also, the connections of the straps look wrong. The horse's front left leg looks off. It looks bowed in at the joint and then bowed out under the joint. The horse's mane is uneven, much longer on the left side than on the right. So, now I will say that even if this horse were perfectly rendered, I don't think that the design communicates what we're trying to communicate with this coin. But I wanted to go over some of these apparent flaws because I think it's a good lesson for our artists when they submit proposals to us. You're going to be held to a high standard for artistry. If
Dennis's mom.
this is my mom speaking. And she was an artist as well. If technical details appear to be inaccurate, if perspective is off, if the musculature is wrong, the physical form isn't true to life, then your concept might have merit, but it could lose some points in our voting and our ranking or be dismissed outright. So that's why I wanted to spend so much time on the horse.
I know what Eric's going to say. He's going to start by saying, stop beating a dead horse.
Okay, puns are done. Eric?
I was actually looking for a play on horse of a different color. I see I have a reputation for
it. This does not justify.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This was one of the more fun sets to work with, and I think it's because whether through artist commission or the idea, we just got a number of lovely symbols to play with. We got negative space. I mean, I just feel like I'm dancing through candy here, so that's really lovely. I'm going to try to focus this. I think the bingo is 5. And the reason I think the bingo is 5 is between the simplicity of the logs, which I'm going to approach negative space, and the literal negative space on the bottom. And perhaps it's too abstract, but you got the front end of the young plant and the back end of harvesting the production of the land. I think you have the full cycle of the mission here. I can't remember ever seeing logs on a coin. 2 and 4 to me could be any natural mission out there. And so they miss the concept that stewardship is not just a presence, but in fact a reciprocal harvest and reinvestment. So five does that for me. Number three, I certainly respect that, and it's not the first time we've seen an artistic coin of the idea of handing off the young sapling. One, as I mentioned back to the artists, please, please, please kick your habit of using grayscale on your art to us. Just plain stop, please, because that makes this image very deceptive in terms of what it will look like in sculpt as opposed to a grayscale world. That's just a plea to the artist. Please stop doing that. I think it's detractive, if that's a word. I'm not sure the sculptor will capture the nuance here of the receiving hands being small and young and the giving hands being more mature. I think that was the intention of the art. That will disappear on the quarter's coin and it'll just be some hands holding a bush. So I'm on number five. We could talk about more, but I don't see any point in it.
Thank you, Eric. I liked a number of these. I have to say I never really thought about five. I do like number two for the negative space. With the people taking care of places, that could be replaced by legacy of conservation or land stewardship. I don't dislike number three, which was the liaison's preference. I think that, how do you think that would sculpt, Grum?
Well, you know, Heidi has mentioned on previous occasions sculpting in like a 45 angle and that type of thing, and low relief, especially hands. The thumb on the adult hand in the back would be very difficult to pull off.
Okay.
I mean, hands in perspective work, but hands in like a, you know, a three-quarter profile, and that they look squat, they look short. This is going to be a challenge with the hands, the way they're depicted there.
Okay. And I do like number eight because I think it hits everything that that the park stands for. I'm not a left-handed person, so I just look at the way that she's holding the spade or the trowel or whatever it is to plant that. But I think that there's a lot of nice negative space in there. It does say land stewardship, and it's quite obvious that she's replenishing and restoring a forest. So those would be my comments. Anybody want to add anything else?
I want to thank Dennis for reminding us of our last comments about this when we were inputting the narrative. That was helpful. And I fully agree with what you were saying about the human element and the stewardship being important. But that idea versus the execution is what holds me back and keeps me on the simple design number two. I want to look at design number eight. This has a lot of potential. But what we've got here is it looks like someone had someone pose, took a snapshot, and then drew that. Imagine for a minute if Donald DeLue had designed this. What would that look like? The face here would be a proper profile instead of this slightly away, confusing look. The hair would be a beautiful design flowing down. The girl would be curved, and she would encompass that circle, and then she would be cradling the sapling. It would be gorgeous, but this is just stiff and unartistic. And even though it hits the marks of what we said in our comments towards the narrative in the beginning, the execution isn't there, and I can't support that because I know what it could be, and it's not.
Can I just add to your comment, Heidi? I don't think, even though this is a left-handed person, I don't believe that left arm is correctly executed. It's just not right. If you
no, it's left.
It's way out left. But if you were actually using a trowel, your hand would be in a different position than it is now.
Donald.
The hand is on the arm.
I just like two makes the best coin. But Dennis brings up a good point. I mean, because we're giving the artists particular instruction when we go through this process by doing the narrative. Even though I was not on that call, I probably would have said the same thing in terms of what the importance of the park is. So if you had to pick a coin with the human element, as Dennis you know, pointed out, you would. I think the best one is 1A. If I discounted it because I think 2 was a no-brainer from the point of view of what makes the prettiest coin.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to go with the prettiest coin, it's 2. If we're going to defer to our own instructions to the artist, I would say it's 1A, and that's how I would focus. The debate.
Designs 1 and 1A were also our liaison's 34th choice for preferences.
Ron, any comments about 1A? Ron, any comments about 1A?
No, I mean, the hands would be easy to do in this one because, you know, you can see the length of the fingers and you can actually get the grip on the left hand there. The mountains in the back would be a silhouette, you know, with low relief. Nice proof field on the upper part of the image. Very well silhouetted leaves. Very recognizable. So this one would sculpt very well.
Okay, thank you very much. Ron?
I love Ron. I mean, the artists who are on the phone, the hands are never easy to do. They're a pain in the ass. I mean, and they're hard to do. And you know, Eugene Dow just did a medal for the Jewish American Hall of Fame depicting hands, which is just amazing. I mean, you know, our sculptors, you know, at the U.S. Mint can do hands really well. So they make it look easy, but it's not easy, and they can do it. But it's a challenge. Hands are a challenge. Hands are like teeth.
Madam Chair, I believe our liaison was requested to add something.
What would you like to add?
Yes, in terms of the discussion of 1 versus 1A, these are attractive to us, and of the two, we certainly prefer 1 with the house that the three residents reside in the background. It does give it a sense of place and a stronger grounding within the park's resources versus the general mountainous landscape. But to the committee's discussions regarding concepts like 2 versus concepts like 1, 3, and 8, we strongly weigh in on the need to have that human element as part of it, reflecting that natural and human dynamic. We agree that 2 is just stunning in its design, but it feels placeless to us, even with the slogan that would connect it back to the park's message.
Thank you. Heidi, you wanted to add one more thing?
If we're going to lean toward 1, I just want to make a suggestion. Because the house is too detailed for the size of the palette, a possible solution to that is to just make it a silhouette. So it's there. It's a recognizable shape, but yet it makes it appropriate for the size, if that was the direction you wanted to go.
1A or 2?
Okay. Are we finished discussing this grouping? Then I think we should pass the scoring sheets, and we can begin talking about the next group. Thank you, April.
Thank you. For Salt River Bay, unfortunately, our liaison was not able to be with us here either in person or on the phone. But we can tell you from our numerous interactions, largely they wanted to convey that it was critical that they find an image that represents the distinct and unique, the uniqueness of Salt River Bay as apart from any other place, and especially other places in the U.S. Virgin Islands. So some background on Salt River Bay. This National Historical Park and Ecological Preserve's blend of sea and land holds some of the largest remaining mangrove forests in the Virgin Islands. The water, which makes up the majority of the park's 1,015 acreage, is home to 27 species that have been listed as rare, threatened, or endangered. Coral reefs form the basis of communities that are comparable to tropical rainforests for their biological richness and global significance. The liaison's preference, there is only 1, and it's a strong preference,
is design one. This design depicts a red mangrove tree in an early stage of its life cycle as it evolves from a very small plant to an adult tree. This design brings awareness to the park's endangered mangrove forests and the unique and delicate nature of how the species reproduces in salt water. Moving on, design two features a school of black bar soldier fish swimming past a shallow coral reef dominated by elk horn coral. Design three depicts a conch shell resting on the beach close to one of the cultural landmarks in Salt River Bay Historical Site and Ecological Preserve, with red mangroves in the background. Design four portrays a juvenile green sea turtle swimming among red mangroves on the shore of Salt River Bay. Seven highlights a green sea turtle swimming through the mangrove roots as the viewer looks across the bay to see the mountainous landscape on the other side. And design 12 features a green sea turtle basking in the Salt River Bay mangrove shallows.
Thank you very much. Heidi, would you like to begin?
I love this packet. Everything here could work, really, and I don't think I've ever said that. I agree with the liaison preference. I think number one is clear, it's attractive, and it says everything it needs to say. It's going to be size appropriate. We have a running joke in this committee about turtles. I'm sure you'll hear some turtle comments. Both the turtles are great. I would love to see those too. The fish might be not specific enough to this park, but I support the liaison preference in this case.
Thank you. Tom, are you with us?
I'm here. I agree. I think these are all terrific designs. I think that we could be pretty creative. I really like number 12 that's on there. Looks like 12. But also, I could go with the stakeholders' preference as well. But I don't think we can go wrong on any of the designs.
Great. Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you. I agree with Tom. I think all of these are winners. I would be happy to go with the stakeholder preference of number one. It's a beautiful design. And I agree with Tom that number 12 is really kind of captivating, too. I like the combination of both plant and animal life relating to the Salt River Bay area, too. And the two turtles, we like turtles. So
we like turtles.
They're all good. The conch shell does less for me, and the fish as well, but they're very attractive designs too. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was really taken by this particular group of designs. It's refreshing to look at a page that you are very happy with. You know, I can't say no to really any of these. So, but my preference truly goes with number one. I think it's dynamic and powerful. It has all the negative space that we want. I think the delicacy of the mango trees is just great. So I go with that one. But I do also like number seven because we do have the plant life and this little turtle, which could be nice. However, I think there's too much information here. So, as it's coined up, we might lose the beauty of this coin, and therefore I go back to number one. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Donald?
Yeah. Everything you said.
Thank you.
Jeannie. And, one is a great coin. I just want to say, though, they're all excellent designs, and I know at least one or two of these is Emily Damstra's, who was devastated when I criticized her coin one time, but I want to compliment all of these coins. Okay. So All of these designs are good, and we keep asking for turtles.
Yes.
We get turtles, and we're not going to vote for turtles. You know, I mean, it's kind of sad. I mean, we talk about sending mixed messages. We want turtles. We get turtles, perfectly good turtles, all good turtles. Any one of these coins could be picked.
Mr. Scringy, this is, I think, really important. Because of the hurricanes and the catastrophic devastation that happened in the Virgin Islands, as we were beginning discussions about the concepts and themes that were appropriate, I don't know if y'all will remember, but we were without a definitive liaison for some time. And so when we finally established contact and we shared with them the penchant for turtles, they were very cautious about that because while there are turtles, of course, they're in the U.S. Virgin Islands, this particular site, and they were very, very strong on this point, is not necessarily known for turtles, while sister sites are very much known. And so that's why the turtles you see here all have another element that speaks to the distinction of Salt River Bay. So just for your awareness, that was a little bit of a timing issue on our part because it was difficult for us to establish that subject matter expertise in the beginning that could help shape that direction. So if that makes you feel any better.
I know. And I know that. I have turtles and Turks and Caicos, and I'm dealing with my hurricane damage this weekend, actually. You know, finally I got the kitchen guy. Two on the island. For all the reasons Jeannie said and all the reasons Heidi said, and you know, I mean, number one is a no-brainer choice, but it's a no-brainer choice among really good choices.
Thank you, Donald. Dennis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's important for our artists to listen to what we're saying here and listen to what we like about these designs. They all have bold, singular, primary devices that draw your eye in. They've got the conch shell, a turtle, a mangrove tree, and we like that approach because it makes a coin memorable. Think back to the Frank Church River of No Return coin, the wilderness coin. I supported the design that had a big, bold wolf staring straight at you, a front-facing portrait. My opinion was that kids would see that and they would all immediately start checking their pocket change or their piggy banks to see if they could find the wolf coin. It didn't have detail filling every square millimeter. It didn't have a lot of trees and other elements competing with the wolf. It would become the wolf coin. So, you know, here we have, you know, we've got the fish coin, the turtle coin, the cod coin, the mangrove coin.
I think we should do them all.
So these bold elements serve well on this this venue, you know, the 1-inch quarter. I thought it was interesting that none of these designs directly illustrate the historical aspect of the historical park. Just thought I'd throw that out, but it was an interesting sidebar. Number two shows motion, which is a dimension that we don't see in every coin design, so I found it appealing for that reason. Number three is good. We have the central design element, and it's backed up by other secondary design elements. Four and seven are, you know, our last best chances to finally get a turtle, as we know. I think number seven of the two turtle coins is my favorite artistically because it more naturally shows the animal in its habitat. It's much more in number four the turtle is more central to the design, but I think it comes at the expense of a greater realism. You know, it's kind of floating in air rather than swimming through the water. And number 12 is artful. It has personality. But I think it loses something by not showing the entire turtle and also by not showing it in motion. I appreciate the liaison's feedback on how turtles are not necessarily distinct to this site. But I think number 7 gets around that because it does put it within the context of the water and the flora of the region. So I like number 1. I think it's very bold. I also like number 7. I like all of them, but 1 and 7 are my strongest preferences.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Yes.
Dennis, don't forget we still have the bat. Don't forget we still have the bat when turtles come.
The bats.
The bat
dinosaurs. The bats.
Oh, yes,
turtles.
That's right.
Eric,
yes,
would you
the bat coin?
Yeah, I hate to turn my back on these turtles, but I think I'm going to. Comments to the artist. As Dennis just said, design number 2 has motion in it, which is kind of fun. So the coral was a bit of a confusing shape there. So I would say to the artist who did that design, bring that school of fish back again, because I think there is motion there, and I like that. This was a fun set of drawings. It has the elements of singular symbols with effective negative space, and it makes it very easy. To the artists on design 12, I think one of the distracting pieces of that is the perspective. The perspective is off on the... We've got the ripples in different planes, and so the perspective doesn't work, and that kind of tears the picture apart in terms of it feeling good. So bring the ripples back on another design where that approach works, but get your perspective cleared up a little bit, please. It's difficult, but we missed it on this one. I'm voting for design number 1. I think it will work well. I think it will stand out. It's the best choice here.
Thank you. I'd like to add my sad tale of another turtle gone missing. The minute I saw design number 1, it was so beautiful, I knew that was going to be it. So thank you to the artists who have indulged their fascination with turtles. But I think that, without question, it has to be design number 1. And everybody's smiling. Okay, I think we should pass out the sheets and vote on this unless anybody's got any other questions. Ron, are you happy with design number 1?
We can definitely sculpt that.
Great. Thank you.
Say roll up.
Turtle.
I didn't anticipate that one, Dennis.
That's good.
No.
Okay, we're going to take a break for about 15 minutes while the calculations are being done, and we'll come back at 12:05. Thank you. We'd like to begin. We'd like to begin with a discussion of how we voted for Salt River and for Marsh Billings Rockefeller. For Salt River, design number 1 was our winner with 23 points. Design number 2 at number 8 points. Design 3 had 4. Design number 4 had 6 votes. Design number 7 had 8 votes. And design 12 had 7 votes. So number 1 it is, a mangrove. Marsh Billings. Design number 1 had 4 votes. Design number 1A had 10 votes. Design number 2 had 10 votes. Design number 3 had 6 votes. Design number 4 had 1 vote. Design number 5 had 8 votes. Design number 6, no votes. Design number 7, no votes. Design number 8 votes. Design number 9, 0 votes. Design number 10, 0 votes. So we had a tie. April, would you like to, this April with a line, would you like to address that?
Sure, there is a tie between design 1A and number 2, both receiving 10 points. To reach a majority to make a recommendation, the point total is 13. So we've not yet reached a majority, but you have options. I think you would be, if anyone wants to, I think you can make a motion, certainly, and discuss those two designs specifically.
Okay. Who would like to discuss design 1A with 10 votes? Anybody like to weigh in on that?
I'll weigh in on this. I think 1A is very viable. I think the hesitation might be is the position of the right hand, and exactly is that having us soil down or not. But as far as the design goes, I love the fact that the Green Mountains are in the back. I know Lily Gaison wanted the structure, but I believe that this is a clearer design. I like the negative space behind it. I like the fact that we have a little bit of grasslands there that shows it needs to be planted, so there's a need there, and that's my opinion of that.
Thank you. Eric, I think, was...
I'm not favoring 1A in particular, but I think the human element is I think, needs to be an element of the winning design here, and whether that's explicit or implicit, 1A has that, and obviously 5 and 8 also have that. But I think the human element is important here, because otherwise otherwise you lose the real definition of stewardship, and you just end up in that data. Natural lands, which I don't think is the message here.
Thank you. Eric Donald, did you want to add something?
I think the prettiest coin is 2, but I can live with 1A, if people want it, and I'm going to trust the artists on the sculpt of the hands. And it seems like the liaison prefers 1A. Dennis made some really good points about 1A. And I think we just got to, you got to keep the liaison away from, wanting the house too, because once you get the hands, you got the house, right?
Yes.
So if we have to go with it, if we have to go with the human element, let's keep it to 1A.
Let's somebody make a motion.
I'll move it.
I'll second. So, Donald, your motion is to cast our votes, our choice with 1A, with the hands and the Green Mountains in the background, over number 2, which also received the same number of votes. Seconded by Jeannie. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Tom. Those opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
Oh. Okay, so how many of us are there?
Eight.
So 6-2, the motion carries. So we're going to go with 1A.
2 is pretty, so please tell the artist the 2 that we love too.
Yeah, I agree. I love this one. I love this one very, very much. But I think with the liaison's preference of the human element, it's why I chose that one instead of this one.
Well, I didn't choose because of the liaison at all. I chose just to be clear.
Don't worry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I chose because we gave the instructions, the instructions we gave the artist required a human element, and the artist who did 1A did what we asked them to do. So
right.
I mean, even though 2 turned out to be a prettier design.
Thank you very much. We will break now for lunch.
Yay.
But if something
I
did put
a sweater on, it's perfectly strapped because it goes on.
Okay. And where did Eric go?
You see something that says
Eric, we're going to start.
Facts of my little airport.
That's what you always say. Okay, I would like to reopen the meeting and turn it immediately over to April, who will discuss the Tuskegee Airmen National Historic Site in Alabama.
Thank you. Established in 1998, the Tuskegee Airmen National Historic Site commemorates the heroic actions and achievements of the famous Tuskegee Airmen. Flying in the Mediterranean Theater of Operations during World War II, the Tuskegee Airmen completed 15,000 sorties and approximately 1,500 missions, destroyed over 260 enemy aircraft, sank one enemy destroyer, and demolished numerous enemy installations. The airmen were awarded numerous high honors, including Distinguished Flying Crosses, Legion of Merit, Silver Stars, and Purple Hearts. With the support of civil rights organizations, the Tuskegee Airmen movement became known as the Double V Campaign, meaning victory in both fighting racism at home and fascism abroad. The site's preferences are seen here. AL-01, the liaison's strong first preference. AL-10A and AL-13. Again, we are very fortunate to have our liaison, Park Ranger Vester Marable, with us today. Vester, welcome and thank you very much. Would you like to say a few words to the committee?
Good morning. Thank you all so much for inviting me here, and I'm glad to be a part of this amazing process and seeing what the inner workings are of making our quarters and coins come to life. And it's a beautiful day in Tuskegee. It's an even better day here in Washington, D.C.
Thank you. We'll start with design one, again, our liaison's preference. This design depicts a Tuskegee Airman pilot suiting up to join the fight during World War II with the Moton Field Control Tower in the background. The pilot looks upward with pride and confidence as two P-51 Mustangs pass overhead. The inscription, "They fought two wars," is arced across the top as a reference to the dual battles the Tuskegee Airmen fought, fascism abroad and racial discrimination at home. Design 2 features a Tuskegee Airman suiting up on the tarmac with his P-51 Mustang in the background. He looks upward with pride and confidence, ready to join the fight during World War II. The double V in the inscription "Double Victory" recall the struggles of the Tuskegee Airmen faced both at home and abroad. Design 4 portrays a PT-17 Stearman, an aircraft used by the Tuskegee Institute to train pilots. The background contains the symbolic double V. Five stars represent the five graduates from the very first class of Tuskegee Airmen. Design 6 depicts a P-51 Mustang with a symbolic double V in the background, representing the airmen's fight to defeat both fascism abroad and racism at home. The inscription, "They fought two wars," is arced across the top. Designs 8 and 9 portray P-51 Mustangs, the primary battle aircraft used by the Tuskegee Airmen, flying overhead. The planes are interlaced with a symbolic double V. Inscriptions included are "At Home and Abroad" and "Double Victory." This is Design 8 and Design 9. Designs 10A, B, and D all feature two representations of the same man, as an aviator fighting fascism during the war, and as a civilian fighting against racial discrimination. Design A is the second preference of our liaison, seen here, and features two aircraft primarily used by the Tuskegee Airmen, the PT-17 Stearman for training, seen on the right, and the P-51 Mustang for battles, on the left. A banner with the inscription "Double Victory" is seen at the bottom. Design 10B depicts a symbolic double V. The artist purposely pierced the border with the second V before the inscription "E Pluribus Unum," or "Out of Many One," to further emphasize the struggle against racism. Roundels from the P-51 Mustang balance out the design. 10D, seen here, features larger figures and includes the inscriptions Victory in War and Victory at Home. Design 12 depicts pilot, navigator, and bombardier wings representing some of the many specialties achieved by Tuskegee Airmen. They are superimposed over the familiar double V design. Borrowing from heraldry, the left side of the field utilizes vertical stripes to indicate the color red, representing warriors and military strength. The right panel of horizontal lines indicates the color blue, representing truth and loyalty. Together with the center panel depicting white by the smooth texture, they represent the American flag. The inscription, "They fought two wars," is centered across the top of the design. Design 13, the liaison's third preference, depicts a Tuskegee Airman suited up for flight with two P-51 Mustangs flying in the background. The inscription, "Cradle of Black Aviation," completes the design.
Thank you, April. Heidi, I think that you would like to have something to say about this, wouldn't you?
I'm really on the hot seat today going first.
No, you can sit.
That's okay, I can take it. This is a challenging packet in that there's a subtle difference that keeps us on topic. This series of quarters is America the Beautiful National Park quarters. So we are honoring the parks, and in the case where we have a historic site, it's really easy to drift over that line into honoring the history rather than the site itself. Can't compete with that, sorry.
I suspect it's related to the parade at the celebration.
So what I was saying is it's really easy to drift over that line into commemorating the event rather than the site. So a lot of these designs do indeed, in my view, drift over that line. When we talk about double victories, it really pulls us back into talking about the Tuskegee Airmen rather than talking about the historic site of the Tuskegee Airmen. So all of these that say double victory, to me, pull us off the topic. And the images with the two different dress, the suit and the bomber jacket, I don't think that gets the message across that is intended. So that narrows my picks down pretty quickly, and I land on number 13. So we can't talk about the historic site without talking about the people. But because we have the person and the aircraft, which, and I'm making a leap to assume that there are aircraft on display on the site, am I correct?
Yes.
You're correct. There are, the P-51 Mustang is on display at the site, as well as the PT-17 Stearman and J-3 Piper Cub. The reason why the first selection of our preference was chosen is because it does depict the site. The hangar and the control tower that's in the background are actually the museum that visitors come into and visit the park today.
Great. Thank you for filling that in. I also like design one, and I'll talk about that next. So number 13, we have the airplanes which are on display at the site. We have the human element there, plus I love the phrase, and again, I'm not a fan of text on coins, but here again, it adds some added information that's valuable. The cradle of black aviation, I think, is really descriptive. So I think this hits all the points of the message. We have lots of negative space, which defines our core elements that stand up very bold. So I'm really liking 13. So if we can then go talk about number one. I like this design a lot. I like the building, but it's getting into that realm of not necessarily size appropriate for this coin. It's getting a little bit small. I think we can get by with that building. It's simple enough. It's big enough. I think it can work. I don't like the phrase, they fought two wars. I really prefer the cradle of aviation or nothing at all there. I like the gesture where he's adjusting his chin strap instead of just standing there. I think that adds a lot to the composition, and the angle of his arm keeps the flow of the design coming around from the building through his arm and up through the plane. So that makes a nice contribution. I could go either way with 1 or 13, but I will not be putting votes towards any of the other designs.
Thank you, Heidi. Robert?
I concur completely with Heidi. I think number 1 is the preference, obviously, because it's the only one that actually conveys part of the site. The others are imagery having to do with the historicity. This is important, but I also agree specifically with Heidi that it's a little bit more confusing to add in, they fought two wars. Who's the they? Is it the Park Service? No, it's the airmen, but that doesn't really have to do with the site specifically, because the wars were in Europe or the civil rights campaign throughout the entire country. So to be site-specific, I think number 1 is unquestionably the choice, and that's the preference of the committee. That's it.
Jean?
Well said.
Thank you. I have to agree with everything that's been said. I also want to add the fact that the airman in number 1 is, you know, he's very thoughtful and pensive, and I think that the artist did a beautiful job representing this person. I think that number 13 also is well done, but I'm really drawn to number 1 because it does have the buildings in there. As it claims, it seems to have everything we need. The only thing I would suggest that if we do choose this design, that perhaps we could change the text for Cradle of Black Aviation. I think that would work better.
Site-specific.
It's much more site-specific. I do like text on coins. So I'm going to go for text. I think that it's informative. It's not too in-your-face, but it does help us and help the public know what this really is about. Remember, these are coins. These are quarters. And I'm thinking about the fact that kids are going to reach in their pocket and they're going to identify with this, which is really a thoughtful, very thoughtful piece. So I congratulate the artists on all of these. They missed the mark a little bit. I think the designs are good. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Jean. Before we round the corner, I'd like to see if Tom is on the phone.
Yeah, thank you. I always bring this up when we're talking about the any of the war ones. I always, since I have an exhibit of Morse code, I always would like to see Morse code, but I don't see any here. So won't be one for the exhibit. But I agree. I think you need to have the people, and I do like number 1 and number 13 as well, because I think it's important to have the representation of the airmen as well as the plane. So, you know, we've done some other things with the planes in the past, and I just think that either one of those is appropriate for what we're trying to do here. I think some of the other ones, I really like some of the others. I kind of like 10A, 10B, but it's just too busy. And don't really care for 10B, but I like the idea of the smaller planes. I probably would have liked it better without Double Victory, the way it was on the banner. But I think I'm going to lean towards 1 and 13. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Tom. Donald.
I think we got it. I think the choice is between 1 and 13. There's really no other choice. And as between 1 and 13, I prefer 13 because it's cleaner, it's simple, it's quarter, and I think there's too much going on 1, marginally too much going on. I just prefer the cleaner look of 13. So I'm supporting 13.
Dennis.
Thank you. Again, I think it's important for us to remember back to our 2017 telephonic discussion and the guidance that we gave our artists. We did talk about the aircraft, the equipment, and the materials of war, but I think the thing that we spoke about more was the importance of the men and women who were involved in Tuskegee, and not so much the airplanes. So I think the ones that focus only on airplanes and machinery miss the boat, miss the plane. The ones that show the humanity rather than machinery are 1, 2, 10 in its various forms, and 13. Of these, I personally would avoid the ones that show the aviators in civilian clothes. I understand the fighting two wars theme, and I'll come back to that. I think it's very important. But I think the contrast of military combat clothing and a business suit is confusing, especially in those instances where we have the men, who I understand are actually the same man, facing different directions. So of those, I do prefer 10D. I mentioned that just in passing. My preference is for number one. It includes a legend that our liaisons recommended. They fought two wars. It does show the aircraft, which is important to the story. It shows the museum of the site. It's an active design. He's actually doing something. He's not just standing or observing. He's preparing for battle. It's detailed, but it's not overly busy. I think this would coin well. It would certainly make a larger medallic piece in the 3-inch silver coin. And it has clearly definable elements. So it has detail, but not cluttered detail. So this is my preferred design. And I would actually argue for the legend or inscription, they fought two wars. I don't think it distractingly raises the question who, because we do have right above it, Tuskegee Airmen, they fought two wars. And also I would point out that while it's important for our coins to tell people things, I don't think it's necessarily bad if our coins also make them wonder about things and ask questions. So if a child or an American who's not familiar with this site and its history sees this and says, they fought two wars, what were the two wars they fought? Is it World War I and World War II? Well, no, it's bigger than that. It's World War II and, you know, something that's deeper and more important, just bigger to the American experience, the civil rights movement. So I think they fought two wars is a better inscription than Cradle of Black Aviation, which Tuskegee was. But we're not only talking about a place where black Americans became important in American aviation. It's more than that. They fought in our military wars, and then they came home and they faced more battles that they had to fight at home. I think number one is perfect. It's a strong design, and I think it says what our liaison wants it to say.
Thank you, Dennis. Eric, what would you like to add?
I would just reiterate all of that.
Well, there you go. Okay, so it's up to me. I, too, like number 1 and number 13. I'm kind of in Donald's camp where I think 13, for me, is a cleaner design. I like the fact that the wing of the plane, you know, is breaking through the sort of the circle. I like the fact that it says Cradle of Black Civilization, of Black Aviation, because that the cradle part makes you think of a site itself where you don't necessarily need to have a building. I will understand completely if the majority of the votes go to number 1, which seems to be the liaison's preference, but I just wanted to put in my 2 cents or 25 cents for number 13. Thank you very much.
Have a thought?
Certainly.
Want to make
two follow-up comments. Just to throw another idea out there for the lettering on one, it would be also very descriptive if we put National Historic Site there, since that's the full name. And the only reason that the full name is not on the rim, I assume, is because it doesn't fit. So was it discussed using the full text?
You're absolutely right, Heidi. I mean, that's too much text to be able to put on the rim. And you'll see on some of the others we're, you know, taking it to the extreme, but we do have to truncate when it starts to get too long to the point where it doesn't make sense. So that's why we ended up with those.
So we could use that space to continue with the full name and put, instead of saying they fought two wars, we could put in their National Historic Site, and then we have the full name of the place.
Inside where the artwork is, yes.
Yeah, instead of they fought two wars.
Yeah.
So that's just another alternative I want to throw out there as an idea. The other thing I want to say is to remind everyone, because we have two designs that we seem to have risen to the top, if you only vote for one and not the other, then we have the danger of splitting our votes. So our scoring system being a 3-2-1 is not first, second, third place, but rather score of quality. So I encourage everyone to give votes to all the designs they think merit so that they get the highest score possible.
Eric?
Question for the site rep. I understand kind of including the personification element in your preference and a lot of our discussion. Notably, you have not prioritized the double V anywhere. And I'm just curious how that came to pass when it was embedded in the original spec.
How did the double V not make it into the prioritization?
Right.
I think, let's see, the three that we chose as the top, one was the, of course, because it featured the site. It features the Tuskegee Mustang, which is the iconic aircraft flown by the Tuskegee Airmen. And then the final, the number 13, a lot of times when you come to Tuskegee, a big part of it does say that cradle of black aviation. A lot of the, when they talk about Chief Alfred Anderson, who's the chief flight instructor, that's always the comment that comes up, father of black aviation at the cradle of black aviation. So that's where those two kind of took to the front. The double V also, when I showed them to the other designs to our superintendent, who is our director, came off as just a little, the artist's art, once we had to go back in and take away some of the character of the double V symbols because it was a little too close to the Pittsburgh Courier design, it looked a little bland. And when it said double V, the one that we did choose with double victory on it was the AL-10A. So we did include one with the double victory in there. It wasn't that it was not important. It definitely is. If you come to the exhibits at the museum, it's all over the place. Double victory is everywhere. But it just, in the designs that we were given, it was not ones that we selected.
Thank you. Robert?
Just one further short comment with regard to number one. I think it might be appropriate if we drop this, they fought two wars, because as Dennis mentioned, this is meaningful, but it could well be confusing. Was it First World War, Second World War? Was it Second World War, Korean War? You see two airplanes where there was each of the airplanes one of the wars.
Right.
You know, so I think the idea that Heidi proposed, maybe suggesting putting National Historical Society there, would be preferable, or perhaps even nothing, just to give it additional space. Because saying Tuskegee Airmen there, really, if you want to know more, you look them up and you find out what they did, what was going on. And so I don't know that we really need that they fought two wars business there, because it can be a little bit confusing. Thank you.
Dennis.
I have to argue strongly for they fought two wars.
it's why would you take that out? It's
just because it's
not superfluous. It's not secondary. It's not unimportant. It's not. It doesn't clutter the design. I don't think leaving the fact that it's a national historic site confuses or leaves information out any more than any other instance where we've left those technical terms out. This is an important, as our liaison has said, this is everywhere on this site, this concept.
It makes sense at the site, because the site is talking about the Tuskegee Airmen, but the coin is talking about the site.
I don't understand or agree with that distinction. I mean, think of the Frederick Douglass site. I mean, we're not talking about buildings and trees. We're talking about Frederick Douglass. With the Tuskegee Airmen site, we're not talking about hangars and relics. We're talking about men and women who made a difference in American history and who fought hard for themselves and for people who live today. So I don't think we should get hung up on, you know, showing, you know, we could show trees that are on the site. We could show other elements of physicality of the natural location or the grounds, but it's the humans, it's the humanity of the site that is important, and part of that humanity is this idea that they fought in a war in Europe and Asia, and they fought in a war at home. I think it's very important. I think if we simply say that this is the cradle of black aviation is broad. I mean, that covers everything from mail delivery to commercial transportation, passenger transportation. They fought two wars. It is at once that simple and that complex, and I think it's important.
I think in your example of the Frederick Douglass, I think it's the same case where the coin is honoring an historic site. So it's a very subtle, fine line where you're honoring both the site and the historic significance of the site.
But the site honors... The site is there for Douglass. It's not, you know, if it's in Sheboygan, or if it's in Los Angeles, or if it's in Rochester, New York, it doesn't matter where the site is. In other words, we wouldn't show a map of the United States with a big star, you know, and that's where the site is, and that's our design. It's about the person, or in this case, the people, whom the site honors or remembers. So, again, I think focusing on the physical aspect of the location is secondary to the message of the site. And number one, it does both. It actually does show
part of that. Yeah, I think it is about both, and I think number one does do both.
Mm-hmm.
I think the phrase takes it away.
the phrase That's puts it in context. The phrase sets the context of the greater struggle. It gets to the historic part of the National Historic Site. And to me, that's why it's important. I don't know if that convinces or...
I think we're at a...
Okay.
Well, did you want to say something?
Agree to
another reason I like 13 better than 1 is because they're really, you know, again, they fought two wars. It wasn't the fighting of the war that was really what Tuskegee was about, really. It was making aviators. It was saying, like, you could do this, and we have confidence in you, right, to do this. You know, it wasn't about fighting two wars. I mean, blacks fought in the Civil War, right?
But that's passive, Donald. That's telling black Americans, we're going to give you this. Number one is very active. He is taking an active role in his future and the future of America.
Fighting wars.
Look in 13. He's standing there. He's looking. He's observing. He's not active at all. And so what I'm saying is the design is active versus passive, but also the way you're describing it is you're describing a passive receiving of, I don't know what,
it's being the aviator. It's being the aviator and having, you know, being saying, yeah, you know, you can be an aviator. I mean, fighting wars, I mean, that's just fighting wars.
Let's see what Mr. Marable has to say.
The man in 13 is perhaps being told you can be an aviator. The man in number one is saying, I'm going to be an aviator.
You can fight the war.
Well, okay.
I want the war aspect is not just the war, of course. And I'm not sure if there's a better way. I'm not sure if there's a better way to convey that, but the two war aspect is showing that they did fight in World War II. But of course, this is the match that lights the modern civil rights movement. Because of what happens at Tuskegee and eventually overseas, the airmen come home and you have gentlemen that fight for the March for Martin Luther King from Selma to Montgomery. You have folks that decide to run for mayor, the first African-American mayor of Detroit, Coleman Young. You have first bureau head in New York to come out of this. You have the Pullman Porters Association with A. Philip Randolph. All of this is a direct descendant of the Tuskegee Airmen legacy. So the war was not just the physical war, but also the war that we think of with the airplanes and bombers, but also was the war here at home against fascism. You have, when they get overseas, you have the Italians tell them, why are you fighting? You know, this country doesn't like you. They don't want you to be here. And they tell them, excuse my language, this is my country. I'm going to fight for it. I'll be damned if I see somebody else come in and take it over. So it was literally two wars they were fighting.
Could you also speak to what was happening, the context in which they started this Tuskegee experiment, and what they were up against in terms of just proving out the possibility of their capability in that setting, that context?
Of course. In 1925, there was a study commissioned by the War Department that actually stated that blacks did not have mental or the physical abilities to fly. That if given an opportunity to be advanced pilots in the military, they would crash and fail. So this was an experiment. This was an experiment to see whether or not blacks actually could sustain aircraft, maintain them, and fly them, and fight in combat. So this was a project that was pushed forward, of course, by Eleanor Roosevelt and President Roosevelt as a promise to the black community to help push forward and advance the African American race in military service.
Eric.
Based on that, that tilts my preference strongly to number one.
With sound effects. All right.
I think we're ready for
a vote if you want to pass those out. And what is up next, April?
We will be discussing Tallgrass Prairie National Preserve. And if I could just see, is Kristen, are you online? Let me go ahead and ask if our other liaison from American Samoa is with us on the line. Jason, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us what time it is for you.
It's 6:47 a.m. I'm watching the sun come up over the forest with the fruit bats and the sunrise.
Did you hear the word bat?
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, if it's okay, Madam Chair, since we do have our liaison from National Park of American Samoa, I'd like to do that, if you don't mind.
That'd be just fine.
Wonderful. Okay. The National Park of American Samoa is one of the most remote national parks in the United States. The people and villages of American Samoa play a significant part in helping to manage the park. These members of Polynesia's oldest culture have been keenly attuned to their island environment, holding it to be precious and managing it communally. The park is only one in the United States, having both a mixed species paleotropical rainforest and the endangered flying fruit bat. Our site liaison's preferences can be seen here. They are design 3, design 7, and design 8. And as you know, with us today by phone is our liaison and chief of interpretation and education, Jason Bordelon. Thank you again very much, Jason. We appreciate it. Would you like to say a few words to the committee?
Yeah, I just would like to say thank you to Vanessa and to April and the team there. It's been great working with everyone. And I don't have my whole team here with me right now, but they have expressed how much they enjoyed this process and how important it was for them that their thoughts and that their culture, the Samoan culture and the Polynesian culture, they felt was really represented and validated in this process. And I think that's reflected in the work. So kudos to the team for that.
Thank you. All right, we'll go through the candidate designs. First is design 3, which again is the liaison's first preference. This design depicts a divided view, with the top half of the design featuring the northern tip of the park looking east, with Pola Island to the left. Beneath the wave element is a seascape of a coral reef characteristic of the Indo-Pacific reefs found at the park. The design symbolizes the goal of preserving American Samoa's entire sacred earth ecosystem, including those systems less apparent to the naked eye. Designs 4 and 5 portray a Samoan man blowing on a conch shell during special ceremonies and indicating curfew in the village. This is design 4. It also features a scene of American Samoa's shoreline. And design 5. Design 7, our liaison's second preference, depicts a Samoan fruit bat mother hanging in a tree with her pup. The image evokes the remarkable care and energy that this species puts into their offspring. The design is intended to promote awareness to the species' threatened status due to habitat loss and commercial hunting. The National Park of American Samoa is the only park in the United States that the Samoan fruit bat calls home. Design 8, the liaison's third preference, portrays a man blowing into a conch shell, which is a ritual often used to signify important cultural and religious ceremonies. Since it's also used to communicate across the waters, a coin with this design can be seen as a global invitation to visit the National Park of American Samoa. Design 9 highlights the Samoan fruit bat native to American Samoa. This is the only American locale where this unique animal, a significant mythological symbol of the ancient Samoan culture, lives. The bat is artistically juxtaposed with a stylized scene of Samoan seashore. Design 10 features both the Samoan fruit bat and the green sea turtle with the island of Samoa in the background. Both creatures are native to the island and are significant mythological symbols of the ancient Samoan culture. Design 12 depicts the Samoan fruit bat among plants important to the Samoan people as part of their staple diet, coconut, breadfruit, and taro. 13 portrays a threadfin butterfly fish, a tropical fish common to American Samoa and the reefs around the National Park of American Samoa. The design in the background is a Polynesian symbol of a wave common to the Samoan tradition of tattoo. Did I pronounce that correctly? Jason, did I pronounce
that? Yeah.
Thank you. Within a wave design. Design 14 depicts a scene of the Ofu unit within the National Park of American Samoa, with the spectacular ancient volcanic mountains rising on the island. In the foreground is a reef with several threadfin butterfly fish and a variety of other sea life.
Thank you, April. Always good to see turtles, and now we've got bats. Heidi?
What a great packet. There's lots of fun things here, and I'm going to start by saying I do love bats. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about design number 3. So this is a good example of a variety of the qualities I was talking about earlier today about clarity and size appropriateness and message and creativity. So on the top half of the coin, we have these landforms that are very clear. The negative space around them is very pleasing. And is size appropriate, and then this graphic wave that divides the above water and below water is very effective. That would be polished in the larger version. So that's all great. But then below the water, we have too much going on. This would have been such a winner design if those fish had been distilled down to their key character and made more bold and clear. As it is presented to us here, there's a lot of texture going on, and on the actual size of the quarter, everything's going to disappear there. Every time I come to visit the Mint, I go down to the machine in the lobby and I get the Lagos quarter and I look and I see how it reads in my hand, not just on the computer screen or on the drawing. And I can tell you that when we get a lot of texture like this, it all just becomes a mush and it disappears. So I wish this design had just taken that one step further, because this would have been perfect. Can you talk about design 7? Like I said, I love that. And I think it's an appropriate symbol for this part. And these are really cute bats. But I'm not convinced that this is going to read well on the quarter. I would have rather seen it zoomed out a little bit so we see a little more of the shape of the bat. Or if it was just a single bat, I think the two heads might get very confusing. It's clear in the drawing what's going on. But on the quarter, I don't think it's going to be clear. I don't have full confidence there. Design number 8, I think this is well drawn. It has action, it has composition. There's texture, but it's not too busy. I have no complaint about this design. I like this, the topic of the bat more than the topic of the person, but design-wise, this checks all the boxes. So we have a couple other bat choices. Let's talk about 10. There's a lot going on here. But there's action. It's got a circular composition. The graphic waves will read really well to scale on both the large and small versions of the coin. There's lots of detail in the animals, but it's not overly detailed. I think this one could look really well. If we talk about 13, when I saw this in my pack, when I opened up the packet, I'm like, wow, that would look so good on the quarter. That texture, the swirling, it's got a clear subject, negative space, it's creative, we haven't seen anything like this. It talks about the culture and the animals together. I think this is a winner design, and I'm sad to see it's not a liaison preference. I really think that would translate well. If we can talk about 14, this is a good contrast back to design number 3 that I talked about earlier. And these fish are distilled down to their key character, and they are very clear and prominent. And we have landforms that are also simplified so that they're very clear and graphic waves. So what design number 1 is trying to do, design 14 is achieving. It's still not a bat, but it's very, very lovely. So that brings me kind of to a dilemma. I like some subjects in some designs, and I like designs in other designs, so I haven't really decided which one is my favorite yet, and I'm looking forward to everyone else's comments to help me narrow it down.
Tom, would you like to weigh in? Tom, are you there?
Okay, and I'm keeping the wrong box here, but anyhow, these are great designs, and I think that a couple that I like the idea of the split in number 3, but for the reasons mentioned, but it's really innovative. Number 7 is something we haven't seen really like this. Number 10 also, and I did like 13 a lot as well. So I'm discounting 3 because I think we've seen a little bit similar to that in other currencies that have done this, but I think number 7 or number 10 really could attract some use to selecting maybe outside chance of that, because it is something that we totally haven't done, and animals are always super when it comes to numismatics and deems and so forth. I really like 7. I think it could attract, and I think it would be really, really super. I like 13 and that as well. I'm probably leaning more towards 7 because I think it could attract a whole new look to our series. I think that as the series in a whole, as we try to diversify as much as we can away from, you know, as tough as the parks have been, I think we've done a pretty good job of trying to stay away from similar themes. So this would be a theme that is totally, and of course I have to like 10 because there's a turtle in there, right? So, I'm leaning strong to 7 with some support for 10 and 13. I really, when I first saw it, as Heidi just said, I liked 13 as a strong design, but fish, we've done a number of the fish, and that's why I lean back towards 7 or 10. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Tom. Robert.
Thank you, Mary. I think these are all attractive designs, and I only can say that I have a bit of a problem with both 3 and 7 because of too many shades of gray. These are pieces that are simply drawings. Another question that I have is the anatomy of the bats, because if you look at number 7, number 9, number 10, and number 12, these don't look like they're the same species. The structure of the wings, and their digits, and the shapes of their heads are all a little bit different. Well, what is going on here? I like them, but they don't seem to be correctly drawn. Maybe one of them is, and maybe the others are not. And so I would kind of wonder about. Number 12 looks like it's a little, you know, a 19th century stuffed animal or something, or maybe a children's toy. I do like number 13 because of the wave element and the prominence of the fish. I actually kind of like number 9 because I do like the juxtaposition of the realistic looking bat, even if it might not be completely correct. The head looks like it's a lemur. But the artwork of the stylized palm trees and beach looks like it could be a little bit characteristic of art forms from Polynesia, which I kind of like too, along with the realism of the bat. I think this is a handsome group, and I don't think we're going to go wrong with anything that we suggest here.
Thank you. Jean, what would you like to add?
Thank you. I'd like to discuss number 3, which is a liaison's choice. And this is the piece that just really hit me, other than the bats. I think that this is quite wonderful, and if we did choose this, I'm wondering if we can't just drop some of that background out. I think it's important to have the coral layer, but these fish are quite nicely done. I think that there's just too much texture in the behind them, so that when it is reduced to a 1-inch coin, you won't be able to really see them, and you may confuse them with that big chunk of coral in the background. So I think that I go with this one. I love that beautiful wave. It is so elegant, and the mountains above it. So many positive pieces of this design that I'm sorry it didn't quite make it with the fish. So this may not be a hard choice. However, I'm going to go to the bats at number 7. I like this piece very much. However, the bat wing on our right and the bat left face, I mean, there's something really cattywampus about this bat. The mom looks like she's okay, but the kid looks like it was dropped somehow. And I'm sorry.
Oh, dear. It
got smashed. You know, if you look at the eyes, they're not symmetrical. They're not sitting on that in the skull correctly. And the arm or the wing bit, I can't discern if that's broken or not. So where this bat is really wonderful, and we don't have a bat, we could have a great bat, but I'm thinking if the sculptor was going from this drawing, we would have a bat that... It's not right. It is not right. I'm not sure if you can see where the part on the bat pup is totally dividing two different heads. So where that drawing came from, I don't know. It's like not, it's not the right. It's like a drawing from one bat and a drawing from another bat, and they put it together. That's my comment on that one. Number eight, which I think really portrays Samoa. I love everything about this piece. So this probably will be my choice, even though 13 is kind of fun. I'm not quite with that one. And I must make a comment about number 9. I shouldn't do this, but it's the same as the horse. I'm sorry. Please, you know, pay attention to, you know, the wing bits. The first digital on that wing on the lower part, that's not right.
Something is wrong.
There's a lot wrong. You know, it's just not right. It's like a flag that fell off. So, you know, I think when we're depicting animals, it's a difficult thing for some people to do, and I think that some people work stronger with the human form and some with the animal form. This one is just not up to par. And I do agree with Robert, the bat in number 12. Now, this is a human bat form. Although the digits are almost correct. I think that number 10 is kind of exciting because we do have a turtle there, but again, we've got a mouse bat. I don't think that's a fruit bat. And the bat wing on the bat's right side. There's something wrong. Okay. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Our bat expert. Okay, now.
So right now, Eric is going batty.
It's late.
Right?
Eric, we have two people to come up with a suitable pun. Continue now.
You know, so here's, on a serious note, I mean, what's surprising me here, and if I have to get on my knees to do this, I'll get on my knees to do this, but, you know, I mean, you know, what happens when we get so many good designs is, you know, the great design is, like, we're talking about bats, and we're talking about, you know, and 8 is certainly nice. I mean, you know, 3 is busy. It's not really, 3 and 7 really aren't in consideration, you know, in due respect to the, you know, to the liaison. I mean, this is a Parks quarter series, not a commemorative series, so the weight given to liaisons, you know, for this series is different than the weight given to people who've gone through Congress and gotten the president to sign a bill, right? So just you know, because we keep referring to the liaisons, and I just don't want to confuse. This is not a commemorative coin, right? The coin that we all just like go crazy about, you know, is 13. 13 is an amazing coin. Like, how could we lose sight of 13? It's got to be 13. We have to do 13. It is cool. It is the ultimate cool coin. I think it's the best quarter design that I've seen. You know, it's innovative. It's funky. It's got the whole Samoa thing going on. It's got the fish. It's cool. I mean, we would be going crazy over 13. If it was in a different package with other designs, like we've seen in the past. For whatever reason, whatever they did to the artist, this is just an incredible group of designs that we've got, probably our best group of designs as a group. You know, not for Samoa, but for all the whole package today. You know, so here we are. Like, actually not going crazy for 13. which would have been a unanimous pick in any other package. So I just, if I have to beg to get 13, I'll beg to get 13. You know, I know Dennis is probably going to say it doesn't conform to whatever we're talking about.
I like 13.
You know, but 13 is the coin. It's great.
It's not a medal. It's a coin.
It's a coin. It's great. It's a great coin. It's probably the best in the whole series. So, 13, 13, 13, please.
Okay.
But which one did you want?
So, the only thing I can say to that, Dawn, is that I agree, but wouldn't it be nice in color?
I'll leave it at that. Oh, come on, cut it up. All right, Dennis.
Thank you. I also like 13. I agree with you 100%. It's visually striking. It has special significance to American Samoa, so it's not just a pretty picture. It has motion. It has a strong primary element in the threadfin butterfly fish, and a beautiful secondary element in that tattooed wave spiral. Ron, I think my only question would be for that fine detail in the wave. Would that translate to a small coin format?
Yeah, we didn't go into depth in analyzing this one. Obviously, you've got a graphic element in the back that's going to be more of a flatter, more graphic quilt type of look to it, and the fish will have lots of relief to it. So I see a lot of laser treatment on here, you know, multiple frostings, patterning. We may have to do some depth difference on the wave there so that we could polish the islands and frost around. But this one I think will work really well.
Even for the circulation string?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what we would do is we would have to put relief on the wave and patterning. And then we would do an overlay of texture and polish for the proof coin.
Thanks, Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not to beat a dead horse. I think we can. We need to keep reminding our artists that photographic detail is wonderful, but it just does not translate into coin form. If your design depends on subtly nuanced detail like number 3 does, we can pretty much dismiss it, and your design won't really be considered. As I was reviewing the portfolio, I wondered if 8 and 9 might be too detailed. I haven't heard that from other committee members. If our liaison is still online, if I'm not mistaken, the National Park Service leases the land of this national park rather than owning it outright. And I think that's, you know, that respects the local customs and the family-based land holdings. So I like the idea of including a person, an actual American Samoan person. So I do like 8. If Ron, you think that could be sculpted and make a good coin. Number 7, I think, has potential. Obviously, this sketch relies too much on shading. But if the mint feels that it could be translated effectively, then through texture and depth, then the design itself is iconic of American Samoa. You know, it's got a strong, bold element. This would be known as the bat coin. I was going to say something about going to bat.
Going to bat.
Yeah.
Can I say something for her?
Yes. Yes. No. Number 12, I actually like. I like number 12, and I'll tell you why. There's an unusual number of very active, movement-driven designs in this portfolio, which I think is wonderful. And rather than just static or scenic designs, the landscapes and things like that. And to me, this flying bat is the most dramatic of them. It offers special context. You know, this is the flying fox is, you know, well known and attached to American Samoa. It's the park's only native mammal, so it's a unique ambassador. And this design, in my opinion, manages to make it cute and active without being too cartoonish. I think I've heard arguments that it you know, looks like a rag doll or what have you. The design shows just enough background to provide relevant context rather than just filling space. And in my opinion, it was brave of the artist to leave that large amount of white space to the right. And again, instead of trying to fill every square millimeter with activity and visual elements. And that white space, to me, emphasizes the illusion, contributes to the illusion of the bat's flight. So I think it's a good active design. 13, it's, we all love it. And you're absolutely right, Donald. This is a great coin design. It'll look good at the larger size and as well as the smaller size. And I appreciate, I think Heidi, you made the comparison between 14 and 3, saying that 14 is an effective way to do what number 3 was trying to do. And Gene, I wonder if that, you said that you like 3, do you find 14 to be a good alternative?
Yes, I do.
To the concept?
I think that 14 is very attractive. I like the fish, I like the waves. I'm not sure what it is that I don't feel the boldness, and I should. It just might be that in my packet it's blue, and I don't feel that the strength is there. But, I could go with 14.
Well, the reason I mentioned 14 is not... I think of 13 and 14, the fish-based, the strongly fish-based designs, obviously 13 wins as a coin design. But I want to mention this into the record of our proceedings because I think it's important for our artists to hear this idea of, like, here's what we're trying to do in number 3 and it fails, but here's how it succeeds in 14.
Right.
So if we didn't have 13, then I think 14 would be a very good candidate. I'm kind of torn here, so I really like 12. I'm probably the only person who really likes 12. I love 13. And I would be curious to hear our liaison's opinions about 8. I think 8 was one of the preferences. Is that right?
Yes.
And just talk about that a little bit. If there was ranking among the 3 candidates, and if
that was number 3.
That was number 3.
Was the third.
3, 7, and 8. I think were the liaison preferences.
Yeah,
in that order. Yes.
Oh, that was the order. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'd love to comment on that if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead, Jason.
Okay, and I need you to do me a favor. Remind me, I don't have the images in front of me. I know them by heart, but I need clues on each of the ones. So the 3 is the Pola Islands divided with the fish below.
Correct. Yes.
And we're talking about 7, which
is the bat couple.
And then the other one in question is 13.
Eight is
with the swirl.
But also 13. If you could speak to 13, because there's such a committee preference for that, and it was not one of your preferences. If you could also.
Okay. Yeah, and remind me of what is on 8 again?
Okay, 8 is the older Samoan with the conch shell and the coconut palm above him.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. In regards to number 3, the elements that it captures are pretty spot on in terms of Pola Island being a registered national natural landmark. As well as being a part of the park here. So it, in terms of the thematic elements and representation, it's terrific. It's a little bit of a heartbreaker that it doesn't translate to a coin, And I should start by saying we love all of them. We've had enough review up to this point that they're all our wonderful little children, and whichever one goes forth and prospers, we will be proud of that.
Thank you.
So while we have, preferences, we understand the process and have had enough input to feel good about whatever moves forward. So if number three is green out due to the elements, then be it. But we really do, the fish down below divided by the texture of the water or wave with Pola Island above. I mean, I would say that, I'm fairly certain at this point there's no way to edit the artwork, but it's a shame that one that is so spot on, just gets bumped really quickly due to it not translating. But that's fine. Like I said, we are excited about all of them. Jumping to number seven, the fruit bats, a very significant thing. The thing that's most striking, or at least to the part about this one, was just the close-up and the sort of intimacy of this coin in regards to the bat. They're a very exotic animal. And I'm kind of laughing to myself when someone brought up the idea that the artist's renderings of the fruit bat look different on some of the coins. And I think that's true. And I think some of that is just by virtue of the artist's style for drawing the animal. But having lived here and actually looking out my window and looking at fruit bats, none of them look the same. It is an incredibly dynamic, ever-changing animal. Upside down, right side up, flying, crawling over branches. And so there is a really unique challenge in creating an image of a fruit bat that is biologically and anatomically consistent. So that would make sense. But that close-up, intimate view of the fruit bat, I think, is what is striking about that particular image and just that exotic sort of inquisitive nature of that animal. And then moving to number eight, and number eight was the gentleman with the conch shell. That one as well is that actual thing of blowing on the shell is a pretty significant gesture here. Like the presenter was saying, it indicates curfew. It can oftentimes indicate saw, which is sort of a religious siesta that's taken in the afternoon. So that one does have, the cultural significance, and I love this idea of it being somewhat of a siren call to the rest of the world. And then 13, we do love 13. The biggest challenge for us with 13 is that the American Samoan art form of tattoo is a very unique and very personal. It's like any art form. It's a very personal rendering in terms of the style that you use and the artist. So it was a challenge to create a Polynesian tattoo image like that everyone could agree on, because everyone sees that type of Polynesian imagery differently. And there's just an infinite amount of ways to draw even a simple little wave like that. We do feel that the version you have on the coin is broad enough to kind of represent the art form in a genuine fashion. I do think it's so ironic that if it went back to the team, that would be the least one that they would pick, which is totally okay. But I just do find it interesting that that you guys love that one, and that was the one that sort of came in with not as much support. But that is, like I said, we love all of the images, and I hope that helps.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, just because we do spend so much time poring over these designs and ensuring that there's a way to translate them into coin, could we just really quickly talk about three and have Ron speak to what his intentions were in terms of when his team analyzed that?
Okay.
So basically, what we were looking at here on number three And we went back to the artist a couple times on this to get a little more clarity under the water, because, I mean, clearly if you just did a graphical representation of what they have there, it would be kind of a mess with everything. We would definitely punch the fish up so you would see them. We would clarify the coral so it would be recognizable as coral and the other elements under the water. So we can clean that up to make it look like an actual representation of an underwater depiction there. Okay. So don't take it totally graphically like it's okay. Drawn there. We will clean it up so that it is definitely recognizable.
Thank you, Ron. Have you thought of a suitable pun yet, Eric, that you'd like to? Okay. Then why don't you talk about the
fishy, right? Yeah.
You're up to bat.
Being the last person means you kind of get the roll of the whip here, so I'm going to try to drive people into a few choices. And a comment to the site representative. One of the things you learn after doing a few of these coins is coins and postcards are two different things, and better not confuse one for the other. And so images, whereas the drawing of the bass in 7 and largely the drawing in number 3 would make lovely, fun postcards, they don't work on a coin. And to the artists that drew them, once again, please get rid of the gray scales and let's focus on what can be sculpted a little bit better. I want to talk about design number 8. I like that design, but somehow it just feels crowded to me. And if I were laying that out, I would have given a little more space between the palm trees, the coconuts, as the overhead mass, and the man trumpeting the conch shell. Just a preference of mine. I'm hearing a pretty strong consensus for 13. And potentially 14 as an alternative to 3. But I think we have some great selections here. I really enjoyed going through this set as much as any other set we got this time. But my support's for 13.
Thank you, Eric. And I'm going to make all three of you guys very happy, because when I was doing research on this, this is for number 13 that many of us seem to like. And Jason, correct my pronunciation if this is incorrect. Pe'a is the popular name of the traditional nail tattoo of Samoa. Pe'a is also the Samoan word for fine fox or fruit bat. So here we've got...
That's correct.
See? There we go. So we can have a great coin design. We can get this kind of only in the know actual bat... That is very special. And even though all the tattoos are unique, this tattoo is possible. This will make a fabulous coin, an absolutely fabulous coin. I would have to throw my vote to number 13. So that's all I have to say about it.
Should we pass out the
scoring sheets, please?
Could I say one thing?
Okay, sure.
I just want to say something about speaking to the artist of number 9, right? I think there's merit in that design too. When she talked about number 9, I'm totally with 13, so I don't want to confuse anybody. I just want to since I'm kind of on the heels of being chastised from an artist. I just want to say I think I get what this artist was doing with this piece, and it doesn't appeal to you because it wasn't intentional. I think it's an intentional I think the artist took liberties with the bat because that's what they did with the little palm tree and the little water display. I don't think it's intended to be representation.
I have to jump in there.
Go ahead.
I don't want to make this discussion long, but...
Because we're talking about something that no one's been voted for. No one's been voted for this.
That's right.
I will.
You will? Oh, good for you. I like the composition. I like the composition. I like the fact that we have the bat, and encompassing the island. That's a very cool thing. problem is that that truly is wrong. When you have the naivety of the palm trees that are you know, sort of tribal lines and stuff, that is okay. That should have been carried out in the bat form, and then it would have been okay. But it's, you know, they're trying to do some realism in that bat, and it doesn't come off because the wings are wrong. Everything's wrong. So I can't accept that argument. I'm sorry.
It's the nicer one.
Okay, now that... sorry, Heidi.
Just one brief comment about back at 13 again, and I want to... Having learned that this was the liaison's last choice, I want to clarify that the reason that we here like it so much is because we can see what it's going to look like. In our minds, we can imagine what it's going to look like on the coin. It's not about the drawing. The drawing is actually a little simplistic, but because of our experience, we know that that's what's going to work the best on the extremely shallow and small quarter. And so in that respect, I'm not all that surprised that it's the liaison's last choice, because they're not used to doing that translation in the imagination.
But every kid that's got a tattoo is going to pick this up.
This is a great one.
It's a great design.
Mm-hmm. People are going to love this coin. I love this coin.
So Jason, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be, the individual members will be scoring and turning in their score sheets. We'll be tabulating. You're welcome to hang on the line, or because it is so early there. We can always reach out to you afterwards and report back to you the particular scores for each design, whatever you prefer.
Total will be 3 points.
You know, I'm going to sign off now and get my day started, but thank you so much for your input and insight. And I look forward to hearing your decision.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on. Bye-bye. To Tall Grass Prairie National Preserve in Kansas. This site encompasses nearly 11,000 acres. And Tall Grass Prairie National Preserve is located in the heart of the Flint Hills, the largest expanse of tall grass prairie left in North America. Rich prairie soils made the region prime for agricultural development. Most of the tall grass prairie was converted to cropland within just a couple of decades, making this once expansive landscape North America's most altered ecosystem in terms of acres lost. Of the roughly 4% that remains today, most, about two-thirds, survives in the Flint Hills of Kansas and Oklahoma. Tallgrass Prairie is an incredibly diverse ecosystem home to a vast variety of flora and fauna. Grasslands birds, like the greater prairie chicken, which is a type of grouse, have lost much of its native habitat and are of particular interest. The site's preferences are seen here as design 1, 2, and 3. And with us today, we should have, via phone, the superintendent of Tallgrass Prairie National Preserve, Kristen Haas. Kristen is our liaison. Kristen, would you like to say a few words to the committee?
Thank you, for one, letting me listen in and be involved. And two, this has just been an amazing experience, and all of these quarter designs were amazing. Everybody at the park was really just very, very pleased by the products that were produced. I think, you know, when we started this quarter journey, we really wanted to sort of capture that essence of Tallgrass Prairie, you know, the name. We've got some amazing cultural stories here as well, but we really kind of, most of us, favored the natural side. That's our name. And we really wanted something that was going to, you know, somebody in another state was going to look at and think, wow, that's pretty cool, you know, in Kansas or Tallgrass Prairie or something like that. And I think that's definitely what's come out in these quarters. So beautiful. I think that's probably all I have to say right now, but I'm here for questions.
Thank you so very much.
Okay, so we shall move through the candidate designs. Design one, which is, again, the liaison's first preference, features a pair of greater prairie chickens in the tall grass, where their habitat remains protected by the preserve. Design two, again, the liaison's second preference, depicts a greater prairie chicken hen and two of her chicks emerging from a clump of big blue-stemmed grass in spring. Design three, the liaison's third preference, features a male greater prairie chicken in prairie grass while a female flies overhead. Design four portrays a male greater prairie chicken in its habitat. The tall grass prairie is visible in the background. Five depicts a male greater prairie chicken nestled among the rolling hills of the tall grass prairie with a regal fritillary butterfly perched on Indian grass. I will note that that was our liaison's fourth preference. Design six showcases three of the many wildflower species that grow in the preserve. Featured left to right are guara, compass plant, and blazing star with the rolling hills of the tall grass prairie in the background. Design 8 features a regal fritillary butterfly landing on a wavy leaf thistle bloom. In the background is an outcrop of limestone found in the preserve. 9 shows a skyward view of a regal fritillary butterfly against a backdrop of big bluestem and Indian grasses iconic to tall grass prairie. Design 10 features big blue-stem grass waving in the prairie winds. This species, which can grow to a height of 6 to 8 feet with its root system growing just as deep underground, is largely responsible for the formation of the famous prairie sod. It gets its name because the stem turns blue or purple as it matures. Design 11 depicts a Dick Sissel songbird perched on a purple coneflower, one of over 300 species of wildflowers found on the tall grass prairie. The sloping hills of the prairie are seen in the background.
Thank you, April. Heidi, you look contemplative. What would you like to talk about?
Coincidentally, just a week ago, I was at a museum and I saw a taxidermied specimen of the prairie chicken, and it's quite a spectacular bird, and I think it's a really great subject for this coin. But these designs, I think, they'll have something missing. Start with design number one. Like we've been talking about all day, we're looking at designs, not drawings, and there must be a clarity to the design. And while this is drawn very nice, that texture of grass behind the bird's head, which should be the focus of the design, is going to get camouflaged there. And so there is no clarity around the most characterful part of the bird. And that's unfortunate, because it is such an interesting bird, and it could have been done in a way that was much more clear. So while this is a nice drawing, I'm picturing this in my mind as a coin, and it's just getting lost, and it's going to be when people pick this up out of the change drawer and out of their pocket and they glance at it, they're not going to see anything but just a bunch of texture. In design number two, this depicting the female is not as distinctive as picking the male, and so it immediately loses my interest. In design number three, here we have some clarity around the head of the bird. The flying bird looks a little stubby in the wings. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it's not very attractive, the flying version. I like the main bird. And the other thing that is off for me here is the tall grasses are not very tall. it's a short grass prairie. And then in design four, this is my favorite of the prairie chicken designs. It's very stylized in the representation of the different lengths of grass, which I think is fun. And then the bird itself, displays all of the distinct characteristics that make it unique, and it's bold, and there's clarity in the negative space around it, and the negative space is balanced very well. So of the prairie chicken designs, this is by far my favorite, and it is conspicuously not on the list of Weir's own preferences, so I'm a little confused about that. Design 5.
Is it me? Is it just me?
Go Caps.
Okay, design 5, it has no focus. There's too much going on. Our attention is divided. It's not size appropriate. So I just can't go on talking about that one. Design 6 is a good attempt at a design, but I think it lacks subject matter that I can really get my teeth into. One of my favorites is Design 9. I think this is so bold, and it speaks exactly to what I imagine a tall grass prairie. You have the blue stem grass, which is so distinctive, the lightness of the butterfly. You have something that is really difficult to display in sculpture, and that is wind. Mm-hmm. And so it's got an element of weather and wind. You can imagine the sun in this. So there's a lot going on that you don't see, but is implied. And it's really fun, and it's got action. And when this is held in the hand, it's going to be very clear what it is, and it's going to be very attractive. My other favorite is Design 11. Here we have the grasses represented and the flowers and the rolling hills in the background, but yet it's not too busy. It's just enough detail that's going to be size appropriate for both the small and the large, and then that wonderful negative space around the main subject, the bird, who is cheerfully singing away. So not only do we have the visual, we've got a sound element going on here. Talk about hard to sculpt sound. We've got wind and sound and sun, and I think this is fabulous, and it would look great, and I'm disappointed that my two favorites are not the liaison favorites.
I should note this design 11 was the liaison's fifth. Well, if there were five, there were five that were named and out of the packet.
Okay, so that's good. That concludes my comments.
Okay. Robert.
I really would like to reiterate what Heidi has said. I like number 9 probably the best, just because of the imagery of capturing the lightness of the sky with the grass. I mean, just, I think this really does it. And it's very unusual. It's the kind of thing you just don't even expect to see on a coin. It doesn't require a great deal of relief because of the delicacy of the images, and I think that it does a great job. I like the prairie chickens. I like the accuracy of the designs. I agree with Heidi that number 4 does it best for me. I wonder why this was not one of the committee preferences. These are all attractive designs, and I really do like number 11 also for the same reasons. Thank you.
Thank you. Jean?
Thank you. I must say that I like number 4 because it's bold, and I agree with Heidi. We have different lengths of grass around or behind the bird. So I've been pretty accurate with John. I can't really complain about this one. So congratulations to whoever did this. I think it would be really beautiful. It has a lot of texture, and I think it would show up nicely on the coin. And the his cheeks are going to, or the puffs that he has there, are going to really polish up nicely. I think this could be extremely attractive. And I have to agree also on number 9. It's simple. It says prairie without really shouting it. And unfortunately, number 1, 2, and 3, which are the preferences, I think there's just kind of too much information, especially on number 2. So where number 1 could possibly be a great coin, I think number 4 surpasses it. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I don't want to forget about Tom. Tom, what would you like to say?
Thanks, Madam Chair. When I looked at these, originally I gravitated to number 9 because of the simplicity of it, and I don't think that we've done a butterfly in particular in part of the series, so I'm always looking at that perspective. But I also did like number 5 because I think it's separated enough. What bothered me about 1, 2, 3, and 4 was our past. This reminds me of the mending of the Lions Club, because to differentiate when we the frosting differentiation hasn't struck up, look too much like a blob. So it, as much as I even like number 1, I just worry how it's going to look when it's struck, unless we can have some deviation or differentiation between animals. In this case, birds, I'm sorry, the at least there's only 2 words off the line, there was 3. So I think the simplicity of number 9 is where I'm going to end up, although I did like the number 5. And I think it shows a good perspective, and it does get in what the stakeholder would like. But I think from a new perspective of curiosity and what this could do for the series, I want to go with number 9. Thank you,
Tom. Donna? Fading in the grass?
I couldn't get that. Again, you know, all these are just, like, they're all good, right? So, you know, if we saw number 9 in a vacuum, or if we saw number 9 2 months ago, we would have jumped on number 9, right? I mean, if we saw it 4 months ago, you know, we would have jumped on number 9. But it's in competition with so many good designs, right? I'm still going with number 9 because I think it's the best design. You know, I think it would make a really cool quarter. Look, the liaison can't possibly know, you know, none of the liaisons could, even the commemorative coin liaisons could know, you know, because they don't look at enough of this stuff. So, yeah, 1, 2, and 3 that they chose, you know, they would be at the bottom of my list. Great designs, I'm not criticizing general designs, but they wouldn't be my number 1, 2, and 3 choice, but I could understand why, you know, the liaison thinks they were number 1, 2, and 3. 4 is a great design. I mean, because look, our message has always been, has since we kind of gelled with our message to the artists on these small palettes. You know, we've told them, please give us focus on one thing, one design element. That's what we're saying very consistently now to the artists. Show us one prominent design feature. You can only communicate one thought. It's like writing a blog post, really. You know, you 300 words, you can write one thought. That's it. And if you try to write more than one thought, it's a very bad blog post. Well, you know, if you do more than one thing on a coin, on a quarter size coin, it is a very bad coin, right? It's just not gonna be powerful. You're losing your power. You want to communicate in the simplest possible way. This does it. I mean, 9 does it. They're nice. You know, 4 does it. And I could see, you know, 4 is really, you know, technically great. And of all of the ones with the, what are they called?
Prairie chickens.
Prairie chickens. with all of the prairie chickens, the 4 is you know, it works best because it's focusing on this one prairie chicken. You know, when Eugene says it's anatomically good and correct, you know, that's an ultimate compliment for whatever artist did this. So, so now Dennis is going to tell me why we told them something else. Right? But, you know, but I think I'm going to go with number 9 because I think it'll be a great quarter. I think Ron can have fun with it. You know, Ron's people can have fun with it, and it could really be something. That's it.
Thanks, Donald. Dennis.
Thank you. I'll talk just a little bit about some of my number 2 choices. Number 11, I did not like at first, and it's because I doubted whether a purple coneflower would support the resting weight of a songbird. But then I hopped online, as one does, and I saw that, in fact, these birds do, you know, rest on these flowers. So, and I mentioned this not to illustrate my own ignorance, but to show our artists that, you know, these are the types of things that we'll be curious about and that we will push back on and we will question. And, you know, if I hadn't found any evidence or talked to experts who convinced me that flowers can support songbirds, then this would not have been a contender for me. As it is, I agree, it's a very... it's a beautiful, charming picture. It's got sound, as Heidi said. You know, this bird is very happy, and I think it's a strong contender. Number 9 is wonderful. It's elegant. It portrays motion. Again, that's a dimension that we don't always see in these coin designs. This grass could have been shown standing upright, which would have been very boring and would have taken that dimension away from the design. But instead, it's gently swaying in the wind, and that illusion of movement is carried forward by the butterfly's flight path. So it's a simple design, but it's strong, and I think it's a good use of the small canvas that we're working with. So I really like 9. Number 8, I think, is significant because we all knew the challenges of this site going in. I think the artist did a great job responding to those challenges. And then one of the challenges was how to portray the height of tall grass. You know, we've been told that it can grow up to 6 feet tall. And we don't see that in a lot of these designs. But with these thistles in number 8, we at least get some sense of that height. So 8 stood out for me as well. But then my strongest choice, so those were my secondary choices. My strongest primary choice would be number 4, and that's because finally we will have a quarter with a single bold animal, you know, like the wolf quarter, the bat quarter. This would be the greater prairie chicken quarter. So my
the world famous.
But my question for the for our liaison would be, why did you check it out? on number 4, why was number 4 not in the running, whereas 1, 2, and 3 were? Is there something that we're missing?
Yes,
please.
Yeah, so we like it, don't get us wrong, but if there's something about the angle of it, and we were concerned by the time it gets to the size of a quarter, it's going to look like a turkey, a wild turkey, instead of a bird.
It will.
And so the others are more straight on, you know, more side, and this one's kind of twisted a little bit. And so it's only because of the angle of this bird. Just, we thought, you know, when it gets small, people are going to just, when they glance at it, they're going to think, yeah, it's just a wild turkey or something. And so that was really, it's a beautiful bird, but that was why it was one of our least favorite of the chickens. So.
Well, in that case, then that would swing my stronger support to number 9, then.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. Eric?
If I were printing an Audubon, I'd be picking 1, 2, 3, and 4, and maybe 5 as a side light. But Audubon worked in large pages and very large printed frames, not in a 1-inch coin. So I'm really concerned that the very excitement of the details of the prairie chicken will, in fact, look like a turkey. And to me, that kind of wastes the opportunity here to send a more distinctive and inviting signal to anybody who would examine this coin and say, tell me about the tall grass prairie. Design number 9 is, I mean, I can feel the wind in my face when I look at that. I can hear the noise of that, the lightness of the grass, the seeds in the wind, and the butterfly who's negotiating all of it through that wind is just compelling to me. I liked design 10, but when you compare it to 9, it just feels like a calm day, which isn't the norm. I end up on design 9 because that's the one that leaves me wanting to know more.
Thank you, Eric. I agree with pretty much what everybody has said. Nine is my favorite. In addition to the sort of the lightness of it, the negative space reminds you, at least it reminds me, of how limitless the prairies were. And so that it could go on forever, which is what we're trying to acknowledge. And my close second might be the number 11, because I think the bird is celebrating living there, and it does have the element of song to it. But nine is just a wonderful design, and that will be my choice. Heidi has something to say.
Just one follow-up. Dennis had something that made a little light bulb go off for me. Another reason why I like number 9, you were saying about the challenge of portraying the height of the grass, and this because we're looking at the underside of the butterfly, mm-hmm. why it works so well, and it makes the grass look tall. And yeah. I hadn't really articulated that until you said that, so I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you all. Any other comments? Jean, do you want to say something?
Yes. To go back to number 4, I understand our liaison's concern about looking like a turkey. However, would you think of a parrot looking like a canary? I feel that there's so much difference between a prairie chicken and a turkey, and I say this because I live with the turkeys in Pennsylvania. They are very huge birds, and very, very long-legged and long-necked, and a giant tail. So I think that people who would hold this in their hand would not necessarily confuse it with a turkey. And we do have a turkey quarter, which is quite stunning and fills the canvas. And it would be so wonderful to have another bird so different and in a different environment. So I'm still sticking with number 4. Sorry.
Thank you, Jean. So I think we can pass our voting sheets around. And does the liaison have any other? Thank you. Heidi, anything else to add to all of this?
I think so.
Okay, Kristen will probably take a few minutes break to score and add up, tally up the scores. If you're welcome to stay on the line and hear what the results are, or you can reach out to you separately. It should be about 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Maybe you can reach out to me a little bit later. I probably need to get off.
Okay.
So.
All right, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Spent so much time going through so much great art. I mean, it was very, very pleasurable today. Thank you.
Donald's comment about make a single point.
Yes.
And I think Heidi's points of using an appropriate symbol effectively to the negative space. We're starting to get that.
Yeah.
It makes our job so much more fun. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. So while we are tabulating the very last, if you like, I can read our vote totals. For the Tuskegee Airmen, our choice seems to be number 1, which received 18 votes. Number 2 received 1.
Number 4 received 0. Number 6 received 0. Number 8 received 0. Number 9 received 1. 10A, 0. 10B, 0. 10D, 0. Design 12 received 1. And design 13 received 15. So the number 1 was number 1, and the number 2 position was design 13. Okay, for American Samoa. Design. You're clicking through everything. American Samoa. There we go. Number 3 received 6 points. Number 4 received 2. Number 5 received 1. Number 7, our bats received 10. Number 8 received 7. Number 2 received, or number 9 received 2. Sorry about that. Number 10 received 6. Number 12 received 5. And the hands down winner with 22 votes was number 13.
Wow.
With 22, and number 14 received 10. Tallgrass Prairie. This is a very efficient group we have here. Design number 1, 0. Design number 2, 0. Design number 3, 1 vote. Design number 4, 12. Design number 5, 0. Design number 6, 0. Design number 8, 1. Design number 9, and the clear winner, 23 votes. Design number 10, 0. And design number 11, 11. So that was, it was very cut and dried for Tallgrass Prairie and for American Samoa, and less so for the Tuskegee Airmen. Mm-hmm.
Is this the first grouping of point designs that the new director, that we're sending to the new director? It is.
Yes.
So I think this is really a wonderful, like, maybe it's fate. I mean, I think we're starting in a wonderful way with the new director. And I think, you know, this may very well be our most powerful group of National Park quarters in the entire program. And it's really, I think, a good omen that it's starting under the watch of the first confirmed director since 2012.
I think we've had a tremendous day. I really do.
I do too.
So thank you all. Do we have any other discussions that we'd like to have? Any other statements?
I think I can say this. It's not terribly controversial.
Okay.
I think it's important that the artists not go away after this stage. And I know you're involving the artist during the process of the sculpt. For sure, and the artist looks, hopefully, I think, looks at the sculpt that you do. And then it goes, then from the sculpt, it goes to another phase where maybe the artist needs to continue to just look at it again. I'm just concerned, you know, and I think Heidi, you know, pointed out this afternoon, you know, the lines as well, that, you know, don't quite have a punch. The actual coin doesn't quite have the punch of the design. And that happened again with the angry versus empowered women in breast cancer coin. you know, and I wrote a piece about that, you know, saying what we looked at, and there's a subtle difference between anger and empowerment. It's a subtle difference, and you can see it in the hands and the fist. So we kind of lost. We kind of lost what was really amazing about that coin. I think still a great coin. I mean, but could have been a greater coin. And you know, and maybe it's a matter of, you know, and maybe it's a matter of getting the artist, keeping the artist in the loop until that coin actually until that coin actually gets on those presses and the presses roll. So that's all I wanted to say. I mean, no big deal. But you know, I think you know, I just hate to see a great design lose it at the end. You know, and sometimes the design gets it at the end. I mean, I think sometimes the design pops at the end. So it goes both ways, but anyway, that's all.
If I can just add a little bit to Breast Cancer Coin. When we were choosing that design, we looked to the liaison for their preference. And this was a huge, difficult coin to design because of the sensitivity of the subject matter. And I think that the drawing really had what the liaison wanted and what we thought was powerful. And it's a shame that we lost it somewhere along the way. So I think that there are times when we really do need to have the input of the stakeholders, because and especially in that case, you know, they wanted to move that coin along. It was supposed to be one of hope and encouragement. And unfortunately, we missed the mark there. So I'm sorry.
If there are no further comments, thank you all for coming. I think we've had a really productive day. If somebody would like to make a motion to adjourn.
Also move.
Robert, anyone would like to second that? Eric, thank you, and I will see you all in October. Happy summer, everybody.
See you in August, we hope.
In August, exactly.